drive excellence this year. And I've had the opportunity to see kind of the presentations in advance, and very happy with what each principal has done and the thoughts that have gone into it, and you'll have the opportunity to see that. And then we'll go into our regular agenda. So the very first thing that we're going to go through tonight is in the superintendent's report. We're going to have a report from a vendor, which is Board Docs.
Yeah, Board, you might want to. It's up to you. If you can see, fine. If not, I would sit there, over there.
Is the board ready to go?
Yes, yeah, so we have the audio.
Okay. Laura, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Laura, I just want to let you know that it's being recorded at this moment. This is the public session of the Board of Education meeting, and everybody's waiting for you now.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. As John, I think it was John, mentioned, my name's Laura Votor. I'm with Emerald Data Solutions. We're the company that provides the Board Docs services. We are the exclusive e-governance partner of the New York State School Board Association, and as such, currently we have about 115 school districts in the state of New York, and also BOCES and a couple other different educational organizations using Board Docs services. What I'd like to do this evening is just give you an idea of what it's like to use Board Docs, to look at information, to search for information, keep track of your goals, and also your policies. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to switch in my screen now to, you should now see your website. And the reason I brought this up is because Board Docs is a cloud-based solution, and as such, folks are just going to access it right from your website, much as they're accessing your agendas and policies and things now. So over here on the left, you've got your different links to the different areas of the information that you're sharing. And you can continue to have multiple links, and they would go to the different parts of Board Docs. That'll be something we'll work with your IT folks on to figure out how they're going to do it. But Board Docs acts as an extension of your website. I'm sure you're using other systems like that, your student systems and things that are similar in how they act. So once you click on the Board Docs link, it's going to take you to a page that looks a lot like this. Now, I'm signed in as a board member this evening, so I can show you kind of what it is to look at Board Docs, but this experience is similar for the public and administration as well. The public will have a public view of the Board Docs site. That also will be accessed from your website. Now, Board Docs is platform independent and device independent. That just means that no matter what kind of device you use to access the internet, you're going to be able to get to Board Docs because you're simply going to use a web browser. So any of the browsers that we're all familiar with. I'm using Firefox this evening just because I like to present with Firefox, but it also works great in Google, Internet Explorer, Safari, if you're an Apple user. It works on any type of device, too. So you know, might have an iPad, maybe you've got an Android tablet, maybe you've got a computer, a desktop at home. You're going to be able to get to Board Docs without any special software. There's no app to keep up with, and this makes it easy for everybody. Again, kind of increasing the ease of transparency for your community. Now, one of the most important things about a system like Board Docs is the fact that when you come in, you'll want it to be easy to find the information that you're looking for. You'll notice right here on this opening page, I actually have a meeting date sitting right here. And typically, when the meeting is released to the board and staff, that meeting is going to show up right here for quick and easy access. We don't have to go scrolling down through a big list or anything like that. Sitting right here. Also notice across the top, you'll see some tabs that are kind of showing us the other information that we can have in Board Docs. Now, the meetings tab, that's where the meetings are located, pretty obvious. The policies tab, the district can manage not only your policies, but also student handbook and any book of codified or sectioned out information in Board Docs through the entire life cycle, making it very easy to find and search, no matter where you are or what you're trying to find. The library can be used to store other documents. One really great feature in the library is goal tracking. You know, we all take all this time to develop our goals that we're going to, you know, work towards during the year. Well, with BoardDoc strategic goal tracking, you can clearly display exactly how you're working toward those goals and how the agenda items on your agenda relate to them. So I'll show you what that looks like. And, of course, we have a search tab here. And the search tab does exactly what its name suggests that it does. Now, let's do what most folks are going to do when they come in, and that's look at a meeting. So I'm going to single-click on that meeting. Now, notice, active meeting. This is very similar. Anyone who comes into the BoardDoc site, no matter whether you're a member of the community, administrative user, or a board member, you're going to see this same listing. And the meeting that's coming up will be sitting here. Now, sometimes you may want to go back to a past meeting. And if you knew what meeting it was, you could certainly navigate right to a particular past meeting. But many times, you may not know exactly what meeting it was. I'd say that's probably more often than not. You're not quite sure what date it was. Notice right here is a search area. So let's say, for instance, I wanted to go back to a particular meeting where we talked about a person or topic. I can come in here and do a search on any word or combination of words. BoardDoc will go and search through all of my meetings and the supporting documents as well, and it came back with two meetings where we talked about that particular topic. So you can see it's very easy for everybody and intuitive to search for and then go right to information. And we'll do a little bit more of that in just a moment. But let's take a look at what it's like to view a meeting. We come into BoardDoc, and depending on who we are and the type of access that we have in the system, we're going to have some different buttons available to us here. Now, the first button, view the agenda. That's the one you're going to use most of the time, whether you're preparing for a meeting or if you're at a meeting or if you're a community member, you're at home and you're looking through the agenda for something you're interested in. Print the agenda. That's exactly what that button does, and it gives you some options for how you want to print it. If the minutes for a particular meeting have been released and approved, the View Minutes button will show up here. Now, staff and board, because they need to review those prior to that time, they will actually see them once they're created so they can review them prior to the meeting where they're approved. Finally, we also see Watch Video. BoardDoc gives you the ability to associate meeting video that maybe you store in open service providers or open source providers, excuse me. Those three providers that we currently partner with include YouTube. Lots of school districts using YouTube to house their meeting video because it's free. It's a great tool. The other ones we partner with are Vimeo because they also do streaming and then also Swagit. So just know, included with your BoardDoc subscription is the ability to associate meeting video. And not just here at the meeting level. We're going to be able to see the video for each individual agenda item. So let's go ahead and click View the Agenda. Now, when we do that, BoardDoc places the meeting over here on the left-hand side. So think about if you're getting a hard copy now, how you have that high-level kind of order of business that sits on top of the packet. That's sitting over here. These dark gray entries that you're seeing, these are groups or categories, and yours will be unique to your organization. Everybody names their stuff differently and does things differently. BoardDoc is flexible enough to support how you want to do business, not the way I want you to do it. To look at an agenda item, let's go ahead and just scroll down here. We simply click on the agenda item on the left-hand side. And everything about that agenda item is displayed on the right. Now, if I want to look at another agenda item, I have some handy-dandy little arrows here that I can use to navigate from one item backward or forward. Each agenda item has a header area. In this header area, we see, you know, the basic stuff. The title, what type of item is this? Is it action? Is it information? Discussion? You know the usual suspects. Recommended action, what we think the motion might be. The next field that you see has to do with that strategic goal tracking I was talking about. We can actually highlight or feature in every agenda item the goal or multiple goals that this particular agenda item supports. In fact, you'll notice if I were to click on that, which I'm not going to do right now, this is a link, and I could go see exactly what our progress year to date on this goal has been. So that's the header area, a lot going on up there. Then, as we scroll down, we get into the content area. Now, this area here is where we're going to put all of the information that we want to share, the stuff we want to share with the community, the public. And in this area, I will tell you, every organization that uses Board Docs does this part differently. Some places have a very formal look and feel to their agenda item. It's kind of a memo template, if you will. Information can be displayed the way you want. You can see here, I've put a little blurb here. I've got a bulleted list. I can use color and highlighting and other rich text attributes to make things stand out. I can even, you know, if I added something, I can highlight it perhaps. This is a link to something on the internet. Then we get into our supporting documents. Now, that's the stuff that's making up the bulk of your paper packet. Typically, there's probably at least one, but maybe a few for each agenda item. To look at a particular report, I simply click on it. Word Docs opens it up for me. I can read it, scroll through it, and remember, the public can do this too, really putting documents out there and making it easy for you. I can come back. I can open another document. And one of the really nice things is it's very easy to switch back and forth between different documents that have to do with the same thing. We go through this during training. Customized on-site training is included with your Board Docs subscription. We're going to come on site and work with the administration. We're going to help them figure out how you guys want to use Board Docs. Because like I said, everybody does this stuff differently. Now, Board Docs also makes it easy for the staff to present information that's confidential for the board. For instance, student-specific information that might need to be included in an executive session. Board Docs makes it easy for the administration to manage that information. Now, the other thing we might see in an agenda item, if we scroll all the way down to the bottom, is here. If it's an action item after the meeting, we can see right in the agenda item exactly how the vote went. I may not even have to go look at the minutes. A lot of times, this is what people are looking to see. Also, let's go back up to the top. Notice here. Now, I'm not sure how small the screen looks for you guys, so I'll draw a little circle around it. If we have a little TV here, that's telling me that this particular agenda item has video associated with it. So if I click on that, it takes me to the video of just that particular item. I don't have to scroll through the whole thing. So that's just one of the ways that we can see the video here. Also, we can watch it at the meeting level. Notice, too, down below, I can navigate to any other agenda item to see the video for just that item. So that's included in your Board Docs system as well. Board members and other executive users can take private notes on agenda items. You know, when you're preparing and you want to make a note to yourself to remember to ask something, these notes are stored separately from the meeting and can only be viewed ever by the person that made them. This is not a way for board members to talk to each other. It's not instant messaging. These are private notes to the person who makes them, and they will stay with that agenda item. So, you know, if you're at home preparing for the meeting and you want to make a note to ask this question during this item, and then you do that, and then you come in and you're using a district resource at the meeting, this note is always available for you right there. Again, private notes, private to the person who made them. Excuse me. Additionally, Board Docs have built-in sharing to Twitter and Facebook and email, again, to make it easy to reach out and further engage the community when agendas are released or important topics are discussed in the community. Now, we've looked at the agenda. Now, of course, over here, notice underneath the word agenda, there's a search box. So if we had a really long agenda, like July, when you've got your reorg or something, you know, and I wanted to find, where's the technology committee report? I could do a search right within one agenda if I wanted to. And I wanted to click on this particular agenda item and scroll down. So here we are on the right-hand side to show you that we can do things like, this is a video embedded out in YouTube. You know, maybe the students did a video and we have it out there and we want to feature it. Also in this agenda item, you'll see there's an MP3 file. Board Docs makes it very easy to include audio if you wanted to drop discussions into agenda items. Board Docs supports the use of just about any type of file that you might want to use in your agenda. Now, there are a couple other areas in the Board Docs system that I'm going to show you, but first I want to talk a little bit about the meeting interface. During the meeting, the district clerk will be able to use a special interface to take notes and record voting. And as a matter of fact, board members can even vote from their devices. There's also a display that can be displayed in the meeting room so the folks that come to the meeting can see what item we're on, right? Then that's typically displayed on whatever device you guys have in there where people do PowerPoint presentations and things like that. Board members and administrators, you guys are just going to view the agenda like you always do, you know, clicking through agenda items, opening agenda items, opening reports. So you'll go through that. It's much the same actions that you would take during when you're at home preparing for a meeting. Now, the policies area in Board Docs can be used to manage your policy books, not only your policies proper, but perhaps your student handbook, internal procedures. Any book of information that gets reviewed often and updated a lot is a great candidate for this. One of the greatest things in here is searchability. You know, if I want to find out, say we're going to be talking about dress code stuff this evening, and I can be right in the meeting, or I could be at home, and quickly and easily navigate right to that particular policy. The nice thing is, too, the community, the public, every teacher, every principal, every parent has that same quick and easy access that's easy to search. And, of course, you know, if I knew exactly what policy I wanted to look at, I could certainly click on it. But Board Docs also supports development of your policies, you know, when you're reviewing them and things. So we can make working copies, give them a status that's different than active, right? And we leave the active one out there. And we can use formatting and markup to show what we're recommending. We can even link right to this working copy from an agenda item and move it through our process, whether that be first reading, second reading, maybe you even have third reading. Some districts do. But you can move it through that process. Once it becomes active, we clean it up, make it look pretty, and we take the policy that was just superseded and we retire it. So now we're actually able to keep history out there of the policy. So the policy portion of Board Docs is there as well. The last area is the library. Now, the library can be used to manage and store documents that are associated with the business of the board, but maybe they're not really related to an agenda, okay? So a perfect example would be newsletters, budget season, everybody's favorite time of year coming up. Maybe you have a budget information folder, and we can put documents and information to share with everyone out here. We can also use it for weekly updates. So really, I've seen a lot of different ways to utilize the general documents in Board Docs. And during training, we'll kind of help you look at what you're doing now and how Board Docs news items could help with that, the general items, excuse me. There's also a calendar of events. Again, we can have different types of events. So maybe we'll have student events. Maybe we'll have school events. These events can have starting and ending times. Maybe you have a calendar and you just want to link right to it from within there. So we can do that as well. The last area in the library is the strategic goal tracking. Now, you'll notice I have different goals set up in here. I've got board goals. I have AIU strategic goals, race to the top, superintendent's goals. You can have as many different groups of goals as you want. But bottom line is you take your goals after you develop them, enter them into the system. Everybody names these differently, but you can see just a couple of examples. Here's my board goal one. I'm not a very creative goal namer. Then we can put content in here to share. So we can share that with the community so they can see what we're thinking and how we're going to do that. Now, remember, I was able to map my agenda items to the goals that they support, and at any time, I can see exactly what we've done year-to-date against this goal. And in fact, just as a little reminder, I'm going to click on one of these guys just to show you. I can click on an agenda item at any time and go look at it. And conversely, when I click on one of the goals, it will navigate me to that goal progress report. So a great tool for really keeping front and center how we're working against our stated goals. And you can even do neat stuff like have a little visual indicator, like I have here, assign responsibility. So strategic goal tracking in Board Docs, really a great tool for keeping things right in front of everybody's eyes. The last area I want to share with you, I talked about searching meetings. And with Board Docs, you can search your entire system all at one time. If I wanted to search my entire Board Doc system for the word construction, I could do that. And Board Docs is going to come back with every place it found that term, a library item. Here's an attachment that had the word construction in the title. Now, this may be all I need to see. You know, all I wanted to see was that number one was in the corner right up here. But if I wanted to go and look at the agenda item itself where that document was contained, I could click go there, and it would take me to that item. Now, the other search is the one that I think you're going to be really excited about. And it's a special tool for administrators and board members. We call it MetaSearch, and it's unique to Board Docs. You won't find it in any other solution. And it allows you to search the publicly shared agenda information of all the Board Docs customers nationwide. Now, we have about 1,100 customers using Board Docs across the United States. The majority of them are K-12 school districts, but it's interesting. We're very rapidly expanding in the municipal governing body area as well. But what's nice for you guys, in New York alone, we've got about 115 school districts in BOCES using Board Docs. So not only is this going to be a great national search, this is a great intrastate search for you guys. So as an example, let's say you're going to purchase a new group of iPads. All right, so I want to do a meta search on purchased iPads. We're just wondering, you know, what are other people paying for them? How are they paying for them? So Board Docs is searching through that information, and it found 250 matches for me. Let's just take a look at this very first one. This is an agenda item from Marietta City Schools. That's in Georgia. By the way, I live in Atlanta. I don't know if I've said y'all yet, but I'll get one in there, I'm sure, if I haven't. We have... This is their agenda item. They were purchasing iPads for an elementary school. Here's what they shared in their public content area. This is the information they're sharing. So I can see here they purchased 59 iPads with insurance and a charging station, and it looks like it cost about $31,000, and they paid for it with Title I and Title II school funds, or Title III. This is out in the public. But as Board Docs customers, we're just making it easy for you to do a very targeted search. Now, one more search. What about bullying and cyberbullying? All right? You know, everybody's changing their policies to make them better and, you know, make them adapt to the environment we find ourselves in. What if I do a search on bullying or cyberbullying in New York? Let's go see what's out there. Let's see what other people's policies say without having to go to 50 different websites. So we can see here, I've got 250 matches, which tells me there's probably more information, and if I put more terms in, I would get even smaller results set back.
Hey, Laura, does that search does that search that you're doing only search districts that are using Board Docs, or is it search district websites as well?
Only districts that are using Board Docs.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry. I just want to understand that.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Those, you can see some of the guys here that are using. Katana Lewisboro, I know that's up the river from you guys. Here's Hyde Park. Here is a, let's see, let's go, we'll go down a little bit. I know I have a policy in here from up near Rochester. We have a policy. Here's one, Gates Child Life School District. They're using Board Docs, of course, and they have their policy. This is their actual policy. So I can look at their policy. This was last updated in December of 2012. So think about the times that you thought, wow, I wish I could go out and take a look at some agenda items or some policies of other school districts. Here's something from Sydney Central. This is their policy. This is a very targeted search for administrators and board members to use when, you know, trying to find information, and better than recreating the wheel, you know. Another good example is, what are we going to have to pay for snow removal this year? Lord knows, after last year, that's probably a big concern. So anyway, MetaSearch, special and unique to Board Docs and available for our board members and administrators. So that said, a couple of key things included with your Board Docs subscription that I think you'll be very excited to hear about. Number one, customized on-site training. We're sending one of our implementation specialists. They will come to your district office and work with the staff for 2 days, showing them how to use Board Docs, how to build meetings, how to do policies, how to get your goals in here, all of it. We'll be on site, and we'll train the board the evening of the second day using what the staff built during training. The other thing that's included with Board Docs is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week help desk. You know, when do we have meetings? We have them in the evening. We don't have them during business hours. So what if there's a problem with Board Docs and you need to call somebody? Our help desk is staffed by people that work for us, that live here in the United States and can answer your question. They're familiar with the Board Docs system. In fact, I know all of them personally. So whether it's business hours and administration has a question, or whether it's 10:30 at night and you've got a problem trying to log into the Board Docs site, you always have someone to call, and that's included with your Board Docs subscription as well. Lastly, every update, every enhancement that comes out for your version of Board Docs, you automatically get. So you're not buying something that is out of date 2 months after you buy it, because we are constantly adding enhancements to Board Docs based on what our subscribers ask for Board Docs to do. In fact, we're getting ready to roll out a big group of new enhancements later this year. So those are coming. But you'll get those automatically. You're not going to get a call from Laura saying, hey, you know, if you want the newest version, then you'll have to write me a check. It doesn't work that way. Those things are always included. So that said, I'm going to pause and ask you what questions you might have for me this evening.
So thank you very much, this is Josh Foster. I really appreciate your presentation. I think that certainly very informative and kind of shows us best practices as to, from a transparency perspective, what we can aspire to be. I think we're going to put together our questions as a board, and we'll submit those to you separately. We have a room of 150-some-odd people and some other presentations. So that's my preference. We have all that data here. Yeah. So we greatly appreciate it, and we will submit questions to you through John Allen.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Have a great evening.
Thanks. Appreciate everybody listening to that.
Thank you so much.
The reason that we had this tonight was that we're kind of investigating ways that we can be more efficient, we can be more transparent, we can have information available. One of the goals, as you know, was updating our policies this year and getting them all online. So in connection with that, we wanted to look at the best way to do that. That brings us to the next point on the agenda tonight, which is a presentation by the three building principals as to achievement of the goals. Again, I really I'm excited to hear these presentations. I don't know who's going first.
Mr. Caswell.
Okay, great.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ed Caswell. I'm the building principal of the high school. And tonight, Ms. Hardwick and Spates and myself are going to accentuate and explain one particular board goal that is found on the district website, and that's student achievement. And as I was explaining to my audience last night at Open House, it's my fifth year here, and every year, I'm asked by the superintendent to have personal goals, and I'm asked by the board to support their goals. So we've always had goals. But I will say that this year, the goals are much more targeted, and I really sense a strong feeling of passion toward the achievement of those goals, and thus some of the presentations you're going to be seeing throughout the year. So tonight, you're going to hear from the three buildings, and I think it's appropriate that the high school goes first, only because, in the end, our kids are going to graduate, and they're going to move on to college and career. So, in essence, this is more of a backwards-by-design end-game sort of a presentation. So, I'm going to start off. All right, so what I want to explain first is New York State has, in essence, three major diploma types. They are the Regents Diploma, the Advanced Designation Diploma, which I refer to as ADR, and the Local Diploma, which students with IEPs may attain. So what I did was I really highlighted the two most achieved diplomas, and they are the Regents and Advanced. And just really for everyone's edification, on the left-hand side, left column, is the Regents Diploma. And what that is, it basically supports the notion of minimum requirements. New York State requires students to have 22 credits, and they require students to pass at minimum 5 Regents exams. So the Regents exams listed there, one math, one science, and it's typically algebra, typically living environments, English, global history, U.S. history. So what we're really saying here is that every single student in New York State is taking these exams. Okay. Now, on the right-hand column, these are exceeding minimums. You know, oftentimes students will graduate schools throughout the state, including Center Riches, with upwards of 30 to 32 credits. So they exceed that 22 minimum. And also they exceed the minimum number of Regents exams that they take and pass. So to obtain the Advanced Designation Diploma, the ADR, there are 9 such exams they have to pass. Technically, there are 8 Regents exams, one of which, the 9th, is a language exit exam. You may or may not know this, but a few years ago, the state eliminated the Regents in Spanish and French and other languages. Those are the 2 languages we teach here. But they still require students to take a 3-year sequence and to pass some type of an exit exam. So that's why I wrote down 9. So those are the 2 major diploma types that we have throughout New York State. So the board has set a goal for both. And if you take a look in the red, on the left-hand column, let's take a look at the Regents Diploma piece. Last year, the Regents Diploma rate was 97% for the class of 2014. I think that's a pretty good number. The board would like to see 99%. And, you know, you can look at that and go, you know, you can look at that a lot of ways, but this is how I look at that. I look at that as a continuation of this board's commitment to this community, that they want everyone to achieve. Similar to, you may remember a few years ago when we introduced the Community Service and Involvement Program, CSIP. Instead of just saying get involved, they're really ensuring that everyone is going to get involved. Similar to achievement. It's really a reminder, it's a battle cry, if you will, to make sure that we're doing everything we can possibly do to have our students achieve. So I really respect that. So the board's goal for this year was 99%. And what I do all the time, and it's no different than any other year, but I look at every single student in this graduating class over the summer, and I ascertain what they're going to achieve. I mean, we do that even when they get into ninth grade, but when we get to the senior year, the picture becomes very, very clear. And at the moment, we have 95% of our students in this graduating class that are eligible to achieve this diploma. I'll speak to that a little bit later in the last slide. Okay. Now, moving on to the right-hand column, the Advanced Designation Diploma. Excuse me. Again, not everyone takes these exams. It's not required. That's why the numbers are significantly less. However, the board wants our students to strive for excellence and achieve as rigorous diploma type as they possibly can. When I started here 5 years ago, the rate was about 28%, and we've steadily increased every year. And we've really kind of plateaued at 50%, thereabouts. Last year, you can see the rate was 49% that achieved the diploma. The board would like this class to achieve a 55% rate. So right now, eligible to receive this diploma is 57%. And I'll explain that a little bit more as we go through the presentation. So what I wanted to do tonight, really for brevity purposes, is I wanted to focus on 2 Regents exams out of the lot. And I can do that because I can summarize the 2 groups pretty well. I'm going to talk about living environment, which would be found on the left-hand column. That's the test that every single student, including Center Riches students, are required to take and pass. Typically, you look at state passing rates, living environment is one of the highest rates. I'll show you that in a second in the slide. So when you see a living environment drill down, as I'm going to do, you could replace that with U.S. history. You can replace that with global history. You can replace that with English. You can replace that with algebra. These are your required readings. This is where everyone's taking it, and they need it to graduate. And the rates are going to be higher, you know, statewide, Center Rich's wide, you know, other school-wide. So let's take a look at living environment. I know there's, like, crazy numbers, but I'll kind of summarize it for the audience, especially the people in the back. I have a couple columns there. This is the living environment readings exams. There's a couple years out there on top, going back to 2010. State average rate passing. There's another statistic called mastery. And just for those of you who may not know what that is, mastery is obtaining a score of an 85 or better. That's the definition of mastery. Passing is 65. So if you look at the state average, it's probably around 81, 82%. And to move the state average a few points here and there is a tremendous undertaking, because think about it, every single student in New York State is taking these exams. But that's pretty much one of the higher rates statewide. You look at the mastery rate, yeah, it's in the low 30s, probably 32% or so, thereabouts, statewide. So now you look at center with those same years, and, you know, the numbers are much higher than the state numbers, you know, 94, 96, 93. Look at mastery, again, higher, 59, 62, 46. So one way of looking at it is, well, okay, you know, living environment seems to be going pretty well. Now, the state report card, numbers that they gather, just so you know, just kind of for edification purposes, they actually take 3 years' worth of data. For a living environment exam, students have three opportunities to take and pass that. That would be in June, which is typically the end of the school year. Then some remediation periods are in August, summer school, and in January. Those are the three typical readings exams. So what the state does is they average those three exams. So for 2014 state report card numbers, they take August 2013, January 2014, and then June 2014, and kind of tie it all together, and that's the rate. What I also did was I took a look at all the data that I had, my records, of just June exams. So I have actually 9 years of data going back to 2006, again, all the readings exams, and I looked at living environment. And again, you look at our passing rate, our mastery rate, some trends are definitely apparent. You know, through the years, they've steadily gone up, I mean, thereabouts. And when you look at the average, including last year, you say Center Rich's average for the last 9 years is a 90% passing rate and 38% mastery. When you look at some of the other numbers I threw out there tonight, they're pretty good. Last year, 95% of our kids passed, 46% achieved mastery. So really, from one perspective, you can say, wow, that's pretty good. Well, here are the board goals. 2015... board would like to see a passing rate of 97% and a mastery rate of 50. And then moving forward down the road, 2019, they would like 99% of our students that take this test to pass, and they would like more than 50%, some 57%. So going back to what I said earlier, I mean, you can look at this many different ways. The way I'm choosing to look at it, and I think a lot of our staff, is that, you know what? I mean, are they lofty goals? Absolutely. But what they're really saying is, we want every kid to achieve. We want every kid to do as best as they can and have the most opportunities possible. And I think that's a very, very important note to make. That's something I agree with totally. I think that's great that we're trying to include everybody. So how are we going to get there? Well, some of the things that I've already begun to do is try to find, who failed the exam. Well, last year, 6 kids failed. That's 6 kids. If I get half of those kids, that's your 97%. If I get 5 of the 6, that's your 99%. Now, those 6 kids will be taking that in either August or January, from last June. But you can figure, let's identify the 6 kids that are going to take this exam this year. And we've done that already. You can probably speculate that so many students have difficulties in certain areas, whether it's social, whether it's some type of cognitive deficiencies, whatever the case may be. And that's important for us once we've identified, because we have, and whether I'm working closely with Mr. Soto in special education or with Ms. Fabian or Ms. Trujillo as our school social workers and psychologists, and, of course, the teachers of those students, throughout the year, we're going to really try hard to reduce the quote-unquote six, like we had last year. Also, it's important to drill down to the exam itself and the teachers in the trenches, so to speak, the living environment teachers in this case, They've identified, you know, two specific areas that they know are difficult. They're bears, if you will, for students, and two of which I just wanted to share quickly tonight. One of them is 20% of the real living environment exam is made up of genetics and engineering. Genetics and evolution. Talking about STEM here. Genetics and evolution. And again, 20% of that exam is made up of that, whether it's multiple choice or some of the short answers. So the teachers have already, you know, communicated to me, you know, we're really going to drill down to that as much as we can, because if we can really lock that down, we may be able to help those six kids. Or the other piece is the mastery piece. You only need six kids or seven kids to go from the 46% mastery to, say, the 50 or 51 or 52. And, you know, that's definitely doable as well. Another example of using the exam as information is what I will label as Part C. There's several parts of this exam. Part C happens to be a short answer part. And typically, whether you're a student that's going for mastery or a student that's going for passing, the short answer parts result in some points being taken off because they're incomplete answers. And it may not even be related to the content, just the ability to write down the correct answer and, you know, communicate the correct response. So starting from day one, teachers are trying to throw out every single type of assignment they can that's mirroring Part C type of a short answer response. And also, we're utilizing a system through BOCES, known as BARS, BOCES Assessment Reporting System, that really drills down to all these exams and pulls out really important historical data and takes a look at different subskill areas that, you know, can reinforce what we intuitively feel is a reason why some of these students have deficiencies on their exam scores. But now with the data, we can really pinpoint that and say, aha, it is there. Let's go drill down and let's attack that. So, again, like I said earlier, I'm using living environment as the Regents diploma type of exam that every kid is taking, and you can replace this slide with U.S. history and global history and exams of that nature. So let me go to the other side, and let's look at chemistry. And exams that would be very similar to chemistry are your Algebra 2 and trigonometry, your physics. Those are exams that not everybody's taking, and they're more difficult. And how do I know that? Well, I can look at state averages. You look at chemistry, you look at Algebra 2 trig, the numbers are lower. They're lower than U.S. history and living environment. They're in the 70s. Algebra 2 trig's in the 60s, statewide. All right. Passing is in that, you know, 70, 80s range. Mastery is significantly lower. And that speaks to the rigor of the exam. I mean, it's a very difficult exam. It's not a requirement for graduation, so it requires our students and our teachers to really work very, very hard on both ends to not only pass, but to achieve mastery, and to pass the course as well, not just the Regents exam. Also, you should note that these exams that I'm looking at now, they're not offered in summer school, so students only have two times to take the exam. So, like, if I'm a student that failed Algebra 2 trig in June, you would think you would take it in summer school immediately and then take the exam in August. That's not the case. They do not offer it. So you have to wait till January, which is such a huge gap, and that puts us at a disadvantage. But we have ways to try to overcome that, as I'll share a little bit later. So, again, quickly going through some of the data, you look at Centum Riches, and you'll notice differences from living environment. You'll notice, again, there was one spike, you know, 2012, 80%, but, you know, it's in the 70s. It's probably 71 average for passing. Mastery, it was probably 11%, 10% if we're lucky. So, again, a big difference. You look at the 9-year data that I put up there. Again, just looking at June exams. Again, the average, 72.8. Mastery, 10. So a lot of a different picture that we're painting here. All right. So what are the board goals? Well, they for this June, looking at 77 passing, 13% mastery, and then, you know, down the road even higher. And it's interesting, like living environment. I'll be honest with you, you know, a lot of teachers and even myself, it can be a daunting task to go, oh my God, I have 95% passing, then I have to go to 97. It's six kids. It's a daunting task. I look at this and I go, you know what? I think we're going to exceed 77%. I'm pretty confident. Our teachers are definitely on board. They're working hard from day one. I'm going to say we're going to pass that goal. I really do. I really feel that way. And how do I know that? Because we've been drilling down and really working hard with the staff for this. And, again, similar fashion to living environment, electrochemistry is a difficult part of chemistry, and chemistry as a whole is very difficult. Again, we utilize BARS, you know, data to pinpoint remedies. And another piece is part and parcel to success in chemistry is a lot of math skills involved. So we've already started trying to cross over between the two departments, math and science, and try to find some common ground and maybe some assistance for our chem students and teachers to maybe beef up and strengthen the math instruction for their success in chemistry. So what I hope it helped to kind of show a little bit of the differences between the required and then the non-required going beyond minimums. And my last slide is just to kind of show even more some of the things like a timeline where we are at the high school. We started this discussion first day of school, Superintendent's Conference Day. I shared, you know, my expectations with the staff, which was assessments on all levels, not just the Regents exam level, in communication, you know, throughout the community. And those are aligned with the board goals, and I shared that with the faculty. And then that was day one. Recently, I do faculty meetings a little bit differently. I do the traditional group faculty meeting, which, you know, at the end of the day or the beginning of the day when we get together. And I still do those from time to time, but I found that it's intensive for me, but I give the teachers the opportunity to meet in much smaller groups throughout the day. So I'll block out half a day and I'll be available every single period. I'll do the same presentation every single period for a half a day, and then I flip it the next day. So the teacher can decide, oh, whatever period they're off or whatever, they can come in. And it's advantageous for real intense discussion because I might have three teachers. I might have eight teachers. And it's a heck of a lot better than having 50 at the end of the day that are maybe the thing about doing something else. So, in during the day, we get some really great discussion and feedback and development. So I've been doing those, and that's how I was able to really ascertain all these different exams and what they're doing now and things of that nature. So that will be ongoing. Also in the department level, I mentioned that math-science crossover, and I can do that in English and social studies and within departments as well. And also, I didn't put on there, we have throughout the day, throughout the year, it's individual meetings that go on because our observation process, lends itself to a lot of individualization of the observation process, where I'm meeting with teachers a lot more than I have in my past districts in past years, and that just fosters collaboration and a real singular focus to any particular goal we have in mind. In this case, it's student achievement. This is new for us, actually. I've mentioned BARS, and that was somewhat of a district initiative. Well, we're going to establish BAR counts for every teacher, so every teacher has access to that real powerful data where I spoke of earlier. They can drill down and really target and remedy, so they're going to have everyone's going to have an account. And we've already started the process of assigning teachers to many of the BOCES workshops that are provided for specific Regents exams. You know, it's about to trig or geometry or something like that. We've already assigned teachers and sent them on their way. And they meet with other teachers that teach similar subjects, and they look at the exams and, again, collaboration with them. And, again, they come back with ideas and thoughts and remedies. And I think it's all very, very helpful for the end game. Altitude trig, as I mentioned earlier, real difficult exam to begin with, and also we don't have that summer remediation period. I mean, if we had that, we'd probably be doing it here in-house and really foster that, but, we don't. So what we've done is we've added to our accompaniment of math lab classes. You know, everyone's familiar with science lab courses, but we also have lab courses in geometry, algebra, and this year algebra 2 trig, which affords students more time. You know, they're having a double period every other day, and it's just more time on task, more instructional time. So we added that. We're continuing our review classes in Algebra 2 Trig at the end of the day. That was very successful. You may remember me mentioning and actually acknowledging our 19 seniors at graduation that actually toughed it out, went against the tide, finished strong, and they obtained their advanced diploma at the very end of the year, and they went through this whole process, and I recognize them at graduation for following through and achieving something really wonderful. And lastly, you may recall that very first slide when I talked about 95% of our kids are eligible to receive a Regents diploma, yet the board goal is 99. Well, like I mentioned earlier, we target every single student, so I know that there are students that may be able to not just obtain a local diploma, they could obtain a Regents diploma by passing X, Y, and Z and doing well in certain type of Regents exams. So I already know who they are. I'm working really closely with Mrs. Soto And that's part and parcel to a lot of these transitional meetings, as I call them, that go on throughout the entire year to try to shift kids to go from a local to a Regents or a Regents to an advanced diploma. So those are really kind of the major bullet points that the high school is undertaking to achieve our district community board goals in student achievement. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Good evening. Board of Education, I'm excited to be here tonight to present to you the middle school plan for achieving Board of Education goal number one, student achievement. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Melissa Bates, and I'm the middle school principal here in Santa Maria. So to start tonight, you'll see the 2014 assessment proficiency and 2015 Board of Education goals. Now, in my next few slides, I'm going to get very specific regarding the action plan with very specific targeted items that we're going to do. But I thought that it was important to begin by just showing everybody where we're at now and what the Board of Education goals are. So I'm going to key in, before I do that, for those of you that don't have a child in grades 3 through 8, each year, I'll just take a moment to explain. Each year, students in grades 3 through 8 take ELA and math assessments in the spring at the end of the year, their Common Core assessments, and they get a score of either a 1, a 2, a 3, or a 4. A 2, if your child gets a 2 on the exam, the state is saying that they are on track to graduate high school. A 3 and a 4, the state is saying that your child is college and career ready, or proficient is the word that we're using. Proficiency is considered a 3 and 4 in the Common Core learning standards. So tonight on this slide, what we're speaking about is 3s and 4s. The Board of Education goals are based on 3s and 4s, as are the percentiles that you see up here tonight. So I'm going to focus on grade 6 ELA, and I'm going to explain that one in detail, and then I think you'll get a clear picture on the rest of the slide. So if everybody wants to just take a look on the top left-hand corner of the screen here, you'll see grade 6 ELA, Santa Maria's 2014, and a 24%. So what that's saying is that in Santa Maria's last year, 6th grade students, 24% of them scored either a 3 or a 4 on the ELA assessment. The next line down, New York State 2014, 29% of last year's 6th graders scored a 3 or a 4 on the New York State assessment in ELA. And Board of Education goal 2015, which you'll hear me say our goal, the middle school, I'm proud to say, has really embraced the Board of Education goals as their own. So our goal as a building in 2015, so that's this spring, 6th graders, our goal is for them to perform 3% higher than the state's 2015 average. So, for example, if the state stays exactly the same and 29% of the state gets a 3 or a 4, our goal is to have 32% of our students proficient. If the state goes up, which we hope they do, we hope everybody improves, if the state goes up to 32%, our goal would be 35% proficiency. So whatever the state does in 2015, our goal for ELA in 6th grade would be 3% higher than the state. So you can see the rest of the numbers. I'm not going to read them all to you today, but that's how this slide is presented. Before I move on to the next slide, I just want to point out a few things you might see. Asterisks, where it says grade 8 math on the bottom right. I'm sure you all are aware 8th grade students this year in accelerated classes that take algebra did not take the 8th grade assessment, so the state has placed asterisks next to each school's average and their own proficiency rate because it's a different amount of students in each school don't take the test. So in some schools you have 20 students that don't take the test, and some schools it's 100 students, so it's very hard to compare. That's why the asterisks are there for grade 8 math. And before I move on, the other piece I wanted to share is you might notice where you might see 3% higher than the state, 5%, 1%, different grade levels in different subjects. You may be wondering, why are the goals different? Why do they vary? Mr. Foster and the Board of Education, in my opinion, did an excellent job. You're seeing here 1 year worth of data. The board actually looked at historical data. So they went back and looked at years of data for each grade. You're just looking at 1 year here, but they looked at historical data and said, how did Santa Maria do and how did the state do over time? And looked at the delta between our average and the state's to come up with the 3%, 5%, 1%. That's why there's differences in different grade levels and different exams. Okay, Mrs. Hardwick. Okay, so in my next few slides, I'm going to go into great detail, but I wanted to just give you an overview first so you understand where this presentation is going. I met with faculty members, took a lot of notes, and came up with, there were six overarching themes, or we call them focus points, for our action plan. So if you want to look up at the slide here, student attendance is the first one, student achievement grade level meetings is the second, data analysis and curriculum enhancements, professional development, cross-curricular accountability, and homeschool partnership. These are really the themes and the focus points that I'm going to be going into great detail in the next few slides. Okay. So the Board of Education asked us, you know, how are we going to achieve those goals? And we came up with an action plan. So these are new initiatives that will be taking place at the middle school this year to achieve those goals. The first one is student attendance. Now, you might not think of attendance right away when you think of academics, but for us, they're so closely tied. We know that there's a direct correlation between seat time and student success in the classroom and student achievement. So that's why we really felt like student attendance should be the first one here tonight. In my first year as principal, we monitored student attendance closely. This year, we're going to be drilling down even further and producing weekly reports regarding student attendance, not just the day as a whole, but period by period, and monitoring things such as late arrivals and early dismissals and looking for trends in student attendance. After that, which we've already begun to do so, contacting parents and students early so that we can get on top of that and make sure that the students are in class, because that's the very first step to student achievement. Next one is student attendance. It's our goal to proactively decrease out-of-school suspensions. I just want to be clear that definitely does not mean that consequences won't be dealt out at the middle school. Discipline is going to be handled exactly the same way, which is in a very serious matter at the middle school. But what I'm talking about here at this bullet is we have a plan in place. It's actually a veteran teacher at the middle school. Teachers do duties at the middle school and high school, so you might see a teacher in cafeteria duty or hall duty. We have a veteran teacher, second period, starting the day, and his duty is actually proactively meeting with students that are either identified from last year proactively or might be an at-risk student identified this year, to meet with them to try to prevent some behaviors moving forward this year. The next new initiative is student achievement grade level meetings. Teachers will be meeting as grade levels weekly with me on a rotating basis, and we'll be addressing items such as student achievement, social and emotional wellness, at-risk students, and really identifying what is working and what do we do well at the middle school so that we can further those practices and continue them. So, you know, you won't see those items on my slides, but definitely continuing what we do, you know, well. So, for example, Mr. Shower's nighttime Regents Review classes are continuing this year, but you won't see them as a new initiative because they were happening last year and will continue to happen this year. Next item, data analysis and curriculum enhancements. As Mr. Caswell stated, we are utilizing BARS this year district-wide, specifically the skill enhancement report for specific students so that we can target where are the deficits, where are their strengths, and how can we better help each specific child. Something that we're already doing, AIS class sizes increased. In fact, they doubled from last year, and class size decreased. The class sizes were about in half this year. Thank you to the Board of Education for supporting dedicated small group reading classes in grades 6, 7, and 8 this year at the middle school. Students in all three grades that qualify have very small group reading classes, and we're excited to see the impact that that has on student achievement. Quarterly benchmarks in mathematics. Building-wide, grades 6, 7, and 8 in math this year, students, teachers will be given quarterly benchmarks to monitor students' progress and to assess our achievement in working towards these goals throughout the year. Speaking of mathematics, if you have a 6th grader and we're at Mr. Clancy's open house, this is just a quick example I'll share because it's very exciting to me. It's exciting to me to see how... It's exciting for me to see how teachers are really embracing the Board of Education goal number one on student achievement. So Mr. Clancy came to me with an idea directly to target this goal. And what he's doing is he's actually, during the students' lunchtime, which I'll share is also Mr. Clancy's lunchtime, he's actually meeting with students, eating lunch with them in his classroom on a voluntary basis. It's not mandatory, working with students and assisting them in mathematics. So it's just, I almost got like emotional talking about it because it's so amazing to me how well, and teachers are, you, he deserves a round of applause, that's true. So. There's, and I'm using that as an example, but a lot of the teachers are doing wonderful things and really jumping on and embracing these goals. So I'm very proud to stand here on behalf of the middle school teachers who deserve a lot of credit. So thank you for that round of applause.
Mrs. Bates, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
What benchmarks will you be using?
The teachers are creating them. I'm going to go to that parallel task is in the next one. Okay. Quarterly benchmarks math. Okay. We're going to go to review of released materials and student responses. Something else that's very exciting, the state released 50% of the test questions this year, and more than just released the test questions, they're annotated, which is very powerful and exciting for Mrs. Hardwick, myself, parents, teachers, and the state. So what this means, this link is on the middle school website, and what this means is that we can actually go on, and Mrs. Hardwick, if you could just click anyone, it doesn't, the grade, perfect, grade 7. We can go on and look at the test and look at examples of what does a 4 look like, what does a 3 look like, what does a 2 look like. So this is very exciting for the teachers, very exciting for me, and I think very exciting for the public as a whole. So I encourage you to go on this website, click on the link. You know, if you're sitting with your family at the dinner table, pull one up and talk about it. How would you answer this question? Why? And that could be a great family dinner conversation, I think. So I encourage you to do that. Look at some of the writing and discuss it as a family. So this is available to everybody. So very exciting. Thank you. You can click off that. Okay. And the last bullet. As you can see from the presentation so far, we're really looking to target this goal from many different angles. And another piece that I'm so excited about, I was at a meeting recently, and I see they're here. Chief Wallace was there, Mrs. Irene Navis, the liaison to the reservation, a representative from Tribal Council. And one of the new initiatives this year that's happening is that the tutoring hours at the reservation are actually going to be adjusted, because we believe that will increase student participation. So that's targeting success on the reservation. I'm very excited for their support, and I want to just thank Chief Wallace and Mrs. Navis for their support on student achievement and the board goal. So, okay, you can go to the next slide. The last slide is a continuation of our new initiatives and action plan at the middle school. The first one here is homeschool partnership. Before I go through the bullets, I just kind of want to pause and just thank everybody for coming tonight because this is homeschool partnership. So this is very exciting for me, for everybody to be here because this really is the first step. So I think this is very powerful. So thank you all for coming tonight. Homeschool partnership for me is really it's so important because I believe there's no bigger influence on a child's life in all aspects, socially, emotionally, academically, than the people living with that child in their home. So what can we do as a school? That was our conversation. What can we do to help build that bridge and even increase the homeschool communication and partnership even further this year? So if you're at Open House, you will have seen many teachers. We had teacher websites last year. This year, there's even more teachers utilizing them at the middle school. So the teachers actually go on, pay themselves for a domain name and have their own perfect teacher website that the parents can log on at home and see exactly what was done in the classroom, what the homework is. Really, really detailed, amazing websites going on at the middle school this year. I put up Remind 101 text. That's an example of one. There's many text items and apps that are being used this year where parents can get text messages and reminders from the teachers, and also weekly emails. There were some last year. This year, there's more teachers sending out like a weekly email blast to parents about the upcoming week. So it's my Sunday evening reading material, and I'm sure for many of you it's yours as well. So I really enjoy those weekly emails and give the teachers a lot of credit for putting that time in for the parents. Provide ongoing information. This is exactly what we're doing tonight via the school website, district news, meetings such as PTA and board meetings. In the last slide, we clicked onto that link. That's a perfect example of what we're going to strive to do and just provide that information to the community and to parents to open up that dialogue and show you what resources are out there so that we can together help the students. Cross-curricular accountability and professional development. The first two bullets go together. They're so important, I would say the most important. ELA support across all curricular areas and grade level collaboration to foster the ownership of literacy. This really is a huge goal district-wide, because the ELA success and achievement for addressing Board of Ed goal doesn't just fall on the shoulders of the ELA teacher for that grade, but really it's grade level-wide and building-wide. So how are we going to do that? If you have a seventh, I'll just share a few examples now. If you have a seventh grade student, you might be speaking to your child about, in Ms. Guardioso's class, she teaches social studies, the writing portfolios that she's creating to support ELA this year in seventh grade. Mr. Volger's class in social studies, he's really having a pushing away from the text and the textbook and more towards authentic texts and current articles to support ELA. So everybody's kind of looking at those shifts together and how can they support them within their content area. Mr. Slifstein last year at the elementary school, I know there was a lot of publicity about his support of the mathematics within physical education. So what can we do in every content area to support ELA is so important to me. Develop parallel tasks to mirror the New York State assessments. Exactly what Dr. Turnow asked about before. Parallel tasks refer to this, looking at the state assessments and making sure that the tests and questions that we're giving throughout the year mirror those. So are we asking Common Core-like questions? Do our questions support what the state is looking at and using? So that's a shift this year that we're going to be really looking at, the grade level meetings. What do our questions look like that we're asking, and do they mirror the state? Increase professional development opportunities for staff members. This has already begun. Been emailing teachers professional development opportunities that they can attend, and they're signing up, so we're excited for that. September 5th, day one, we, as Mr. Caswell stated, we really began this conversation from the beginning of the school year. So an example, math and ELA teachers, all student assessment reports were distributed because, you know, it's important to see how we did last year specifically. Nobody knows their students better than them, and you, of course. So how did they do? What were their scores and why, so that we can move forward this year with our new students? And the last bullet here, October 8th, an experience with Judy Dodge, developing interactive notebooks. This is just one example of professional development that actually Mrs. Hardwick and I are attending with some teachers. Judy Dodge is a guru in the area of differentiated instruction, so that's an example of one of the professional development opportunities coming up soon that we're very excited about. So at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Mrs. Hardwick, the Clayton Huey principal, to continue our presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. I won't go into detail. It's really the same exact slide that Mrs. Bates had referred to. So our 3 through 5 scores, very similar to, you know, what's happening at the middle school. And along the lines, it's just a moving target. So I think that that's what makes this so interesting, is that we don't know exactly what our target is. So we just have to prepare to be the best educators we can be, the best support staff we can be, to help our children be the best that they can be. And how are we going to do that? Well, we started right out of the gate. I just put some of the dates to show you how quickly we started doing things a little differently. In the past, I have to say, the assessments, once scored, kind of became a mystery. They just went in a closet somewhere. I'm sure most of the parents have never seen their child's actual assessment. You've seen the scores, right? You get that report home, and you just go, I wonder what went on. Whether it be a 4 and say, wow, you know, my child did really well. I wonder what their writing looks like. Just a heads up, you have every right to see what that writing looks like. We have it in our schools. We have to hold it for the year, and you are welcome at any time to make an appointment. We'll have it ready for you. I know some parents have already come in to do that. And this year we did something different. Not only did we give the teachers the scores, you know, sometimes it's in that Excel spreadsheet and there's a lot of names and it's in alpha order and we have the levels, but we also gave the teachers the same as the parent reports. That way they could see where did they fall in that range. Because when you're a 2, is it a strong 2? Were you very close to a 3? So that's really important information for us to have and for you to have. And I will say, it's not very important information for children to have. So I just want to share that with, as a parent, and I know the kids are asking, it's just not something, because students unfortunately do internalize, and all of a sudden a one and a two becomes a label. So this is an adult conversation when it comes to, hey, Mom, what did I get? You did awesome. Don't even worry about it. You did really, really well. Mom is so excited and proud of you. That's the conversation with the child. So if you would like to come in and see it as well, as I said, just let us know. But now the teachers have the assessments in their hands as well. So they could go back, and when they see that Kim got a 2, and I was really surprised by that because her writing was very, very strong in class, let me go back and start looking at exactly what happened with that child. Likewise, is there something that happened as a grade level? Did so many students miss this type of a question as a grade level? Because then there's a really great professional development opportunity that we need to identify. Because then collectively, we miss the boat somewhere as educators. And I have to say that the teachers are excited to find those deficit areas, because no one wants your, all right, you want your kids to do super well, first and foremost, but I can assure you a very close second is that teacher who absolutely wants the very, very best for your child. We also shared the board goals at the primary and the intermediate open houses, because we want to make sure everybody's informed, everybody's having the same conversation. In addition to giving the assessments first to last year's teachers who had those children, we will then be giving them to the current year's teacher. So right now, if I'm a grade 4 teacher, the students who I have in my possession, the actual assessments, they're currently in a 5th grade classroom. Because right now we're looking at it sort of as a professional development for the grade level, but ultimately we also need to use it as a model to identify what we need to do for individual students. So that's coming up as well. In addition, we give our own benchmarks. We have Fountas and Pinnell reading levels that we are benchmarking for. We have Right Reason technology that we are utilizing, and we have AIMSWeb. That is very, very important data. And we're going to start looking at not only the benchmarks now, but we're going to be looking at what does the January benchmark tell us. How much progress have we made? Let's identify the specific deficits that we still need to address prior to that child taking the assessment. And when I say the assessment, folks, I don't want you to think so much focus is placed on the New York State assessment. We're also talking about the local assessments. We want students to achieve mastery on every assessment that they take. So we will be looking at, especially for our math modules, every module has a mid-module and an end-of-module assessment. And the grades where we, actually, if I go back to the grades in math 3 and 4, they exclusively use the modules. So when somebody says, hey, Kim, is using the module a smart idea? Would you recommend it? I say, let's look at the data. The data says, yeah, that's a good call, Kim. You know, let's keep using the modules, looking at a 50% and a 64% mastery. So with that said, we're also making some curriculum decisions. So grade 5 this year is choosing to use the module as well. But with that comes important professional development. When teachers are looking at new curriculum, different ways of doing things, really trying to strengthen what we're doing in the classroom, that always comes with very specific professional development. I have to say that we're very excited for our work with the professional developers from Eureka Math. They are the teachers who wrote the modules, and they are the teachers who have been teaching and using them. So it's not written and utilized by someone who is not an actual practitioner. So that is very exciting for our teachers, especially our primary teachers, to get in there and start really learning how to unpack and best implement the modules. In addition to that, we want to make sure that we're also supporting the teachers' needs. We're continuously talking about differentiation for the students, but we also have to honor what that differentiation looks like for the educators. where a teacher comes to me and trusts me enough to have that conversation and says, Kim, I'm really excited about upping my game and really growing as a professional, but I really want to enhance my guided reading skills because that small group instruction is where it's at. And then we are certainly going to support those individual educators as well as looking at our October 6th and 8th where it's more grade level. We're going to make sure that we are supporting individual teachers K through 5. Likewise, BOCES specialists looking at the bars, having someone to walk us through getting smarter in data. I think that at the elementary level, we love literacy and we love teaching reading. And when it comes to data, understanding data and implementing data-driven instruction is something that we are excited to get smarter and better in. And utilizing the Right Reason technology, we just brought that in last year, and we really used it solely for APPR purposes. There is a great opportunity waiting for us to get smarter in using Right Reason technology so that we could really use that for progress monitoring. We're going to continue to provide additional student support. The bullet on top, we started doing that towards the middle of the year, but right out of the gate, we're going to make sure that we provide extra help for our grades 2 and 3 because the students, there's a very big leap when you go into second and third grade academically. So we're going to make sure that we provide extra help sessions in the morning. We are also making sure that we continue to implement, thanks to the generosity of the community center, we have extra tutoring sessions for grade 3. We used to just have it for grades 4 and 5, so we added grade 3. And something that's really exciting is that the PE teachers came to me, and they said, you know, Kim, so many kids, when we do extra gym days in the morning on Thursday, the teachers don't get the customers that they might need because as soon as the parent drops them off at school thinking they're going to their classroom teacher, they are off to the PE teacher because who doesn't want to have an extra gym in the morning? So the PE teacher said, you know what, we're going to switch to Tuesdays so that the students don't have to choose between a fun extra gym session in the morning and academics. So another way that we're working as a team. We will look at the need for extra support. For example, we used to have Saturday Academy, but it was supported by a grant. We no longer have that grant, nor was this budgeted for. So this is something that when I put it on the slide, it's a consideration for us to talk about, but since it wasn't placed in the budget, it's not something that I could say with certainty would occur. And of course, finally, collaborating with the parents. There is no way we can achieve our goals at the elementary level without this key component, making sure that we're working together, that we are doing everything to communicate to parents what is happening. The principals' teas, the community happenings, these are great vehicles for ongoing communication. Any parent who can't make those opportunities, all one has to do is send an email, a phone call. We do private tours. We do private conversations. Whatever it is that you need as a parent to help support your own child is exactly, we differentiated for the kids. We differentiated for the teachers. We are happy to differentiate for the parents. So whatever a parent needs to know that they are doing all that they have to do will be very, very important. We are so excited. We're going to do a collegial circle with the book Mindset. It has changed my conversations with students. It is such a powerful book that I shared with parents if they were interested in having a collegial circle. I guaranteed them that it would help shift their thinking and how they spoke to their own students. So it's a go. I already have 10 parents signed on, so it will be in my next community happenings and certainly on my school website. And the shared decision-making team, our site-based team, we are super excited because they're talking about putting together an action plan for parents so that we can truly work in partnership to make sure that the goals that you guys have set before us are absolutely achieved. Thanks so much for your attention.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't know if any members of the board have specific questions for
Any of the administration?
One question, and it's really for all of you. I mean, Mrs. Monk may be able to answer it. In regards to the benchmarks, I know that we've gone green with all of our report cards, and I know from speaking to other board members that some of the assessments, individual student reports, and some of the, whether it be Ames Web testing or Right Reason Technology, could we look into what the price would be to put the assessment data up on our parent portal? Because all of you highlighted how important parents and communication is. And instead of us running off all that data and trying to give it to parents, maybe having it up there where they can see their child's growth or lack of growth, whichever it may be helpful if we could just look into what the pricing is that. In speaking to other districts, some of them have done that already. They have added it to their parent portal.
Sure. And someone who doesn't use the parent portal as much because it's not, you know, for the elementary level, the parent portal works really nicely, 6 through 12, but we still communicate, we still give out a report card. I don't know if it was Mrs. Sedge. I remember talking to some people, and I actually emailed reports. So the good thing is we can turn those, that we can PDF the document, and we can email the document. So unless somebody really wants to come in and discuss the document, which we could still have on a laptop via a piece of paper, all of the documents are available in PDF. Now, of course, that's easy to do when you only have 10, but if I got 700 phone calls...
Well, I was trying to make it easy on me, Mrs. Hardwick.
No, thank you, Dr. Chernow. So if that's the case, then that's something that we might want to look at.
I mean, just because I was looking at the running theme, whether it be Mr. Cows or Mrs. Bates or yourself, and all of it went back to a lot of it was parent communication. And in speaking of that, and we're talking about assessment and, you know, what really drives or motivates children, their parents, et cetera, sometimes it's just having that information, knowing that your child is growing and being able to sit down with them and say, and it goes back to the book Mindset, which I have read and used in my college classes, helping children understand that when they work hard, that they will achieve, and that life is about making failures and working hard at it to become better. So, I mean, and trying to spin assessment data from a one clip, which I've never liked autopsy data, and I know that Mr. Stewart and I have had this conversation, you know, at the end of the year, that's not really truly who a child is. And I do believe in benchmarks, and that's why I was inquisitive in that, because I think when you look at children as a whole and they have benchmarks to either demonstrate their progress or lack of, that's how you can help children and parents be motivated to accomplish greater things, not by the end of the year, waiting till the end of the year before you get the results, but those little dipstick measurements where you can truly see a child growing through the year and how motivating that is to know that your hard work as a youngster and as a teacher, you know, helping that child really is going to something more positive, you know, not just waiting to the end of the year for that final report. So that's why I mentioned that.
So I'd like to say I think all three presentations were excellent, and it's really a great first step in what I kind of view we're looking for. Absolutely energized by the focus that administration has put on this and kind of the reports back that we've gotten from teachers as to kind of the uptake on it. Also energized by the number of people here because it shows, and again, what ran through each of the presentations was, you know, the parent-school-child relationship, and it takes kind of all three to get there. So the fact that there are so many people here to hear these presentations and focusing on striving for excellence, I think, is great. I know you're going to succeed. You put your mind to something and you focus on it, you're going to get there. I mean, that's it. And I think that's, you know, an important part of this is, and the kids don't know from these goals, but an important part of this is showing that if you really focus on something, you will get there. And then the excitement at the end day, and I think that'll come through to each of the kids. So I think the takeaway is, as you go back, I mean, there's going to be future report outs. Future report outs will include, you know, specific special ed reports as well. As you see what's working and what's not working and you tweak that, come to us. If you need further assistance, come to us, talk to us about it, and we're certainly here to help because, you know, yes, we've set goals, but if we're not going to be completely supportive of what you need to do to get there, you're not going to get there, I think. So I really appreciate it, and I thank you very much on behalf of the board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a relatively long agenda tonight. The way the agenda works is we've got a period where there's questions and comments on behalf of the specific agenda, and then there's a general discussion topic at the end. So to the extent that there's one item on the general discussion topic, we're going to go through our agenda, and then we will allow community members to speak on the general discussion topic. We're going to limit each community member, because there's so many people here, to 3 minutes tonight. So we're going to go through general questions on the agenda, but for the last item. I'm going to ask you, because we're recording. Right, we're recording. So because we're recording, if you've got a question, you're going to come up to the podium, state your name. You don't have to state your address or anything else. State your name, come up, ask the question, and we'll do the best that we can. So are there any questions on the agenda? Yes. Please.
Good evening, everybody. Gina Biamonte. I'm not here on behalf of the Center Merchants PTA this evening. I am here as a resident, 37 years, graduate of Center Merchants, go Red Devils. I have a son in 11th grade. My husband is a graduate, lifelong resident. Number 18 on the agenda about the discussion of the mascot.
Yeah.
I know, you're going to stop. I just have a question. When you say discussion, are you doing a vote this evening?
So we're going to get to that. We'll get to that discussion point, and I will answer every single question that you've got, but I want to go through the rest of them, because if we answer one, then we're going to have 100
questions.
I just
want to make sure, if you're doing a vote tonight, I don't think it's going to be a very fair vote, because there's a lot of people here that are not members of Center Merchants.
Just stand by.
Okay.
Any other questions on the general agenda? Okay.
I'm going to ask for a motion to adopt the minutes.
Motion to adopt the minutes of September 17, 2014.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Center Merchants FMLA policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2014-2015 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for the 2014-2015. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Just a quick question. Mary DeLello, is she still already in?
Mary DeLello.
Doesn't she already work in that office?
Yes, but she's a leave replacement for someone who's out sick, and it's an upgrade to her position. She's acting in a higher capacity.
Oh, okay. But she's always been in there.
Yes, she's always been there.
Okay. It's in the Samosa contract. If you look at it, if somebody were to do the duties of somebody.
I just wasn't sure how she could do the same job. I didn't realize it was a different moving up. Okay.
Did we vote?
Yes. No, now we
are. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts as well as at the established cost contained in said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the treasurer's report for the month of July 2014.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action That upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following salary moves on the salary schedule effective September 1, 2014.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. These are, question, these are typical moves as a result of a year or contract, correct?
Additional classes.
Additional classes? Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education adopts the 2014-2015 tax levy in the amount of $21,357,417.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Carol, can you just speak to exactly what this is, what the motion to adopt the tax levy is?
Yes, in order to submit the tax warrant to the town of Brookhaven, the board has to approve the amount of the tax levy. Once you approve the amount of the tax levy, I submit it to the town of Brookhaven.
So this,
and they include it.
This tax levy was the tax levy that was voter approved on the budget.
That's
for
correct.
The budget, then translated into a tax levy, and now this is accepted, approved, goes to the town, and that's where we get our money.
That's correct.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the corrective action plan for the 2013-2014 independent audit report.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Discussion.
Yeah. Discussion.
There's a fund balance in the audit of 3 months average expenditures, and I saw in your response that you're going to develop a plan.
Yes.
And I know it's always like the food at the elementary and South Lake. Is that part of the plan? Can we spend that $200,000 on broadening, like a better contract with Whitson, just improving the food? Because I know we have it where I work, and there's different options. So I was just wondering.
I mean, it's something that can be considered as part of that. There's other things that we have to look at as far as the replacement of equipment. Right now, we have to replace the dishwasher. We can't fix it anymore.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very large cost. So that is something that we could look at.
So the Health and Wellness Committee or something could find out how much money was available and perhaps talk about how it was part of their discussion, the food part of it.
Mm-hmm.
After you. Okay. I just wondered, since that is...
It goes fast,
it's
yeah, the other thing.
It does go fast, but we haven't had
a
surplus in a long time. So.
The other thing that we have to think about, too, is with the new program, nutritional program, we'll have to see as the months go along, but we anticipate
a decrease
in revenues.
Okay.
So although we've had the past couple of years have been profitable, we might be seeing a loss.
So you want to keep an eye on that
first. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Thanks.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of books and equipment.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following donations.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. I want to thank PTA, Ms. Wicks, and the Red Devil Pride Club for the donations. It's great. We couldn't do what we do without without each of you and the donations that we get. Thank you.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following grant monies and adjusts the budget accordingly.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves approximately 125 students to attend the Washington, D.C. trip from May 19, 2015 through May 21, 2015.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Is there a charge to the district for this?
The charges would be the chaperones and any substitutes that are required.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. I'm going to, I know that we have a...
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following individual for various 2014-2015 committees.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes. Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Now, I'm going to ask if we can take a five-minute break before we get to the next item. Does anybody have a problem with that? Great. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
I got lost. Things got added. First, I printed this out for the web. The book, Susie, actually.
Oh.
And
First, because Mr. Piemonte, you can be first with your question because I know you had one. So, just so that everybody's clear, you know, we're going to limit each person to 3 minutes. There's a lot of people here tonight. We want to hear whoever has an opportunity to speak. Please understand that if we, you know, tell your time's up, it's not that we don't want to hear, but in deference to everybody here, we do need to limit. So think about what you want to say. I've asked Kristen to kind of just keep time. So what's your
I'm just curious as to why this is even a discussion. Because this has been a mascot for 58 years. It's never been an issue before. I don't understand it. I mean, I get maybe one family or one group has an issue with it, but we have been the Red Devils for 58 years. Everybody that has moved into the community knew the name Red Devils. If you had that big of an issue with it, then you choose another area to move to, if it means that much. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mike McGovern, and I believe, school board members, that the time is now to change the mascot for Center Riches. I believe we can do better. The climate is right for a change because we live in a different society than we did 15 and 20 years ago, a society that's careful not to disregard and exclude people groups. Today we're cautious not to offend people of various backgrounds, races, and sexual orientations because we know that the alienation that this causes. Recent events in legislatures, colleges, major sports teams, and yes, even school districts have proven this shift towards more awareness and inclusivity. We as a society have decided that when a group of people, regardless of the size, are offended, feel marginalized, or are mistreated, change is necessary. African Americans were not in the majority in the South as segregation came to an end. Native Americans have not been the majority as numerous colleges have changed their mascots, and tremendous pressure has been put on professional sports teams. And homosexuals are not in the majority as laws are passed to help them to fair treatment in all areas of society. My point is this. We may be in the minority. However, we may also be the silent majority, finally taking a stand on behalf of the many who have tolerated this offense quietly over the years. But the point is, that doesn't matter. You could have the entirety community weigh in on the subject and record the yays and nays, but it truly is irrelevant. If one group is being mistreated or offended, regardless of its size, it's reason enough to make a change. And I am personally offended by the mascot of the Santa Maria School District. I believe in God, but not some far-off, distant God. I believe in my God, who I have a personal relationship with, who is my source of life, peace, and joy. I also believe in a devil, the enemy of God, whose sole purpose is to lie and destroy my relationship with God. I cannot refer to my children as the enemy of the God I love and serve. I cannot refer to my children as red devils, and I am distraught, personally distraught, when I consider that my children will be called just that as they participate in our schools and on our athletic fields. Center Riches School Board members, The time is right for a change in our school mascot. We can do better. I thank you for your willingness to listen as we go through this discussion tonight. I eagerly look forward to hearing your opinions and the opinions of those in attendance tonight.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Sandy Albano. I moved here in 1978 with my mom and my family, and we came to Santa Mariches. I did my last 2 years here, graduated. I have two children that came through the system here, James and Lauren. Lauren just graduated in 2012. I want to just tell you that when I came here in 11th grade, I was offended by the mascot. Okay, so it's not a new thing, all right? It's not new, all right? I was offended. It offends my beliefs, all right? That's all I want to say, okay? It offended me 30 years ago. It offends me now, all right? And I'm not moving out of the district. I mean, that was pretty rude.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. My name is Amanda Davidson. My husband, Patrick, and I are proud parents to four children, Ava in 11th, Summer in 8th, Beau in 4th, and our youngest, Quinn, is enjoying his first couple of months at Starbright. Yes, so we have students in each building in the district. 10 years ago, we made Santa Mariches our home, the place to raise our children, and has been truly a blessing. So now I stand with the people in this room, those that come out for these meetings and want to stand as an advocate for our children, our community as a whole. Regardless of race, religion, or gender, like my husband and I, we want to stand in the gap, leading and guiding our young ones to be their personal best. The best, right? We want that for our children. What parent or guardian doesn't want that? The best. As I shared, I have four children in a wide range of ages, so I have years of wonderful memories and experiences with the educators of this district. They really have become members of our families, and they have often asked my children to give their best with my complete agreement. Their very best. Yes, of course, academically, but also in character, in integrity, in those moments when no one is looking, in word and deed, and yes, in word. So this brings us to this question. Why would any group of individuals choose the symbol of a devil to represent our community, to decorate our grounds, to ask our children to wear, and to chant at games? Is that our best? Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there's a person here who literally signed off on that, not technically. So I challenge us all today to see what is coming, and it's a new day, and in many ways very sobering, and calling us to protect and guide in a way not commonly or previously seen. A day when evil and things that represent that are at our doorsteps. It's not a time to take things lightly or shirk it up to, well, it always has been done. That type of mindset often leads to mediocrity at best and tragedy at worst. So if you think not, I urge you to simply look at what's transpiring in our backyards and abroad. Just a silly little devil? No, it means something more. Just one sickening example, there's an enormous heroin epidemic on Long Island. This evil and dark drug is claiming the lives of thousands of our young people. I'm sure many of you saw the Channel 12 series which ran the actual narratives of those that barely escaped this addiction. In just that half hour, I watched two of the young people describe the drug and its claws as the devil. Our backyard, it's not just a word, it's a particular standard, and I dare say even a declaration, a vivid description. I'm a speech and language therapist by trade and even called a word nerd by many of my children, and language and reading are a passion for me and has been my area of expertise. There's not a word that humans have ever used that does not serve a purpose, for good or for bad. Just recently, the Pope's envoy to Iraq made a public case for taking on ISIS, comparing ISIS' decimation to the devil. Quote, "No one can use the name or in the name of God do something like this," said Cardinal Fernando Filoni, referring to the horrific public beheadings. These are really devil things. Again, I urge those that take it lightly to think again, because it's more comfortable to rest in that, to make that your reality with all due respect. That simply is not the real world just because we say so. So the bottom line, friends, is let's choose the very best for our children. For my husband and I, the word, the cartoon depiction, and all that goes with its symbolism is abhorrent. We are Christians, followers of Christ, so for us there is a very real devil, and the idea that I would choose that symbol is an impossibility. And I think most would agree in our nation, built upon Judeo-Christian values, the symbol is dark and the opposite of what is good. For those that think it's not such a big deal, I caution you to err on the side of what is a basic human desire, and I believe our obligation to allow our children to boldly stand for that, that's what is true, what is honorable, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good reputation, what is excellent and worthy of praise. And yes, that is found in the Bible. And I declare that for our community today. So let's show our children what true leadership looks like. Let's let them say that they were the generation of Senator Rich's kids and parents that took a stand for what was good and right. In the face of inevitable opposition, they persevered.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Christina Sconzo. I am an alumni of Santa Maria's. I am also currently student teaching in the district with hopes of becoming an educator myself in the future. I am here not as an educator or as a potential educator, but I'm here as a community member. We have a lot of history in this town. This town is built upon tons of history. We have books dating so far back. This community, we have families who date back generations. And for these generations, these parents and grandparents, they have all been able to unite with each one being a Red Devil. We have gone through 58 years of being a Red Devil. Never have we had an evil bone, an evil thought, or an evil gesture towards each other. I do believe in God. I really do. But I do not think that having our mascot as a Red Devil is an evil thing. On our yearbooks, we have an imp. In everyday life, you see depictions of cartoons, and they're not meant as evil. We see children on Halloween in devil costumes also. And with this 58 years and these generations, our community has a significant amount of school spirit. As a community, we are so proud of Santa Maria's school district and what unites us. And Red Devils has made our school spirit to the max. If you take away our mascot, you will be taking away the morale of this community. And we need our school spirit. Please don't take our school spirit away. That's really to the extent of what I can say.
Thank you very much.
I had a couple of notes prepared, but I'm going to kind of speak from the...
What's your name?
I'm sorry, Josh Bonventry. I'm here with my wife, and we have three children in the district, fifth grade, third grade, and just entering kindergarten. And originally from Bellport School District, South Country School District, and we moved out here because we absolutely love the town, and we loved everything about it, minus the mascot. But that was not a consideration when you're thinking about moving, is looking at what the mascot is at the time. Like I said, I had a few notes prepared and probably rewrote them several times. But I think I'd rather speak from the heart instead of just kind of reading what I wrote right now. And I can understand completely both sides. I obviously see the passion of people that feel like the mascot really has meant a lot over the years and the tradition of being, over 50 years old. And I get that. I completely get that. As a former high school athlete and NCAA athlete, I understand the mascot, and I understand how we get behind it, we support it, and then when a few people come in and think, well, we want to kind of change it, you know, there's a little bit of animosity built up towards that, saying, well, who are you to change it? We've had this forever. But again, it kind of goes back to, is this the best we have to offer? If we have to defend our mascot to a certain group of people, if we have to defend our mascot to other school districts and have to be able to say, no, no, it's really not evil, is that the best we can do? There's no way. If you think about the devil, I teach physical education at the elementary level, and I've taught at the high school level as well for 13 years. If I were to ask any one of those kids that I've ever had, if I said to them, what is the devil? And you don't need to answer out loud. Just think about the response that you would get. I don't see anything positive. There might be somebody who says, you know, he might be the little guy with the horns and, you know, at Halloween, or you might hear adjectives such as wicked or you know, that evil, you know, person that's, you know, on the shoulder and the angels on the other side. None of them would be able to give us the tradition, or maybe even I know there's some type of military reference from dating back to even, I think, even World War II I've heard. I've asked around, and I really haven't gotten a clear answer as to where it came from. So my question is this really the best we can do? You know, I put my daughter to sleep at night, and I lay down with her, and I pray with her, and yes, I believe in God, in case you're wondering. Yes, I believe in a real devil. I'm sure you probably understand that by now. So when I lay down with my daughter, and I teach her about right from wrong, and I teach her about good versus evil, and then she turns to me a couple of months ago, and she absolutely loves soccer and can't wait to play soccer in Center Riches, and she turns to me and says, Dad, why when I get older, or in a couple of years actually, why do I have to be a red devil? Isn't a devil a bad thing? We've always learned that the devil is evil, so why do I have to wear that now? Now, to protect her, you know, of course, what I say is, well, it's not really like that. It's, you know, it's kind of like they don't really mean it in a bad way. Should I have to do that, though? Should I have to protect my daughter in a way that says, well, it's not like that? Why can't I say that with pride and say, you're a whatever type of mascot, and she's excited about that? I don't feel like I should need to explain that. And for those of you who think, well, sorry, you're easily offended, and there's always going to be somebody that's got a problem with something, I would just urge you to just reconsider that notion. Just reconsider it for a second and think about the conversation that I have to have with my daughter, or the conversation that other people, and I'm not the only one in here, have had to have to defend a mascot. A mascot should be something that's built on courage, strength, on dignity, not on wickedness and evil, and we have to kind of defend that and say, no, it's okay. It's really not about that.
Thank you very
much.
So,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Ian Sullivan. I graduated from Center Virginia School. I mean, like, for example, I think it was my freshman year, we had a pep rally. And, you know, everyone was hyped, and they're all happy because they're getting out of school early. But, you know, we're at the pep rally, everyone was jumping around having a good time. And then they called in the mascot. And this big guy, you know, nice, not really nice, but looking kind of demonic with his big horns and, you know, his pitchfork and everything, comes running out. And I looked at that and I said, why are we supporting that? Because when you picture a devil, you don't picture what we, you know, are kind of switching to now, the little hip guy. You picture, like, the 10-foot guy with a pitchfork and the big horns and the goat legs and stuff like that. Not really a nice picture. When I get older, if I still live in this area and I'm picking a place for my kid to go, you know, if, let's say, East Merchants kids, you have a choice to go to either West Hampton or Center Bridges. If the parents see the mascot of the devil, it's kind of, you might lean them towards going to West Hampton. I don't send them to that school, but we're sending Richard for awesome. So I'm just here to say that I don't support the mascot. I haven't since I entered the school. If we could be the Ospreys, I think a lot of people would think that makes more sense. It does. We have them right in the field. You can go. You can put a couple of fish down on the ground and watch them pick it up. It's a lot of fun. Either way, Ospreys are cool. They're almost like eagles.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. If just one second. If I see a number of people, if you want to start to form a line there, feel free.
Hi, my name is Tim Dodd.
Say again, what was your last name?
Dodd, D-O-D-D.
Thank you.
I'm a registered nurse. My daughter is a senior at Southern Merchants High School, and my son played Red Devil football. I just want to say, you know, we've taken God out of schools, which is, to me, a sin. And now, you know, we have the devil at school. If we took God out, why don't we take Satan out, too? And that's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Good evening. Hello. Good evening. My name is Harry Wallace. I'm the chief of the Hunkachug Nation, and I have 80 kids in the school district. I'm a rather prolific father, I'd say. my daughter also graduated here in 1997, and I have a little bit of experience in dealing with symbols because I was at Dartmouth in 1971 when we got rid of the Indian symbol. And I can tell you it's emotional. There's a lot of logic that just goes right out the window when you deal with it. But I can tell you one thing. There are a couple of ways that you could handle this. And one of the ways, and we also have a vested interest in the sports teams here at Center Riches, because everyone in the room knows what the contribution that members of the reservation have made to the athletic program and the success of Center Riches. It's very sensitive. We're very proud of that record. As a matter of fact, didn't we 2 weeks ago have Norman Bell honored by as a member of the Center Riches Hall of Fame? So we're very much have a vested interest in how the school's athletics department is represented here. But one of the things that we remember doing is that we looked at the origin of these symbols and how it was created. And at Stanford, who also got rid of the Indian symbol, they let the students vote it because the students were the ones who selected the symbol in the first instance. So the students were the ones who decided to keep it. You just heard from one of the students there. I'm sure there are others who were opposed to it, I have spoken to a number of athletes who performed at Santa Maritza's, and they had a similar understanding. Didn't understand what was the reason for it and what was the part of it. I'm sure there are others who say that the symbol was much more significant or have a more fierce understanding. But at Dartmouth, what we did was, since the school made it an official policy to adopt the symbol, we made the administration make it an official policy to not have any paraphernalia representing the Dartmouth Indians at the school, at the district. So we didn't take a vote. Because it was an administrative decision in the first place, it was an administrative decision to remove it afterwards. At Stanford, since it was a student decision, the students made the decision. So these are ways in which you can resolve this, because you're not going to please everyone with respect to this issue there. So, but those are ways that you can make this resolve this in a manner that will be at least logical. And the other thing is that I can't remember what the other thing was, but I know that whatever's going to happen here, I know it's not going to happen today. I know it's going to get very contentious. I know, just, you know, I don't understand symbols to begin with. We have a little problem with one of the football teams, as you probably well know, and you just get married to a name, and the logic goes out the window. So I just say, as a school board, you know, maintain the logic, look for ways in which you can resolve this, and keep the community in unity together, and we'll always be a part of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Elaine Quinlivan. I'm a resident of Santa Maritza's for 27 years, and yes, my daughter did go through the district, and as Mr. Wallace said, symbols are important. I could not have her wear a devil on her back, and so when it came time for sports, I had to buy her separate things from everybody else because they had the devil on it, so I'd have to go out and buy her a separate one. That alienates a child, and that's not fair to my children, that they have to be alienated because of a symbol that a school has chosen to use. Why we chose the devil, I am not saying that the children who wear the symbol are devils, but why are we using such an evil symbol on our children's backs? And why are we alienating some of our children because they're uncomfortable with it or their parents are uncomfortable with it? It's not fair. If pro sports and other members of society can take a stance against symbols that are offensive, why cannot the Santa Maritza School District? I understand the nostalgia. I understand the history and how tied we are to all that. But length of time doesn't make a wrong a right. So therefore, I think it's up to the district to stand up and say, this is wrong. We are alienating children. This is wrong. Therefore, just change that. Not change the history of a great district. I love this district. Not to change the district, but just to change the symbol. We're not saying that the children are going to be any different, or they're not going to have sportsmanship, or they're not going to have camaraderie. They'll rally around another symbol in a very short time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy Notaro, Santa Maritza's resident. And there's a story. This daughter was cooking with her mom, or looking at her mom cook, and the mom was making a roast, and she cut both ends of the roast off and threw it in the garbage. And the daughter said, "Mom, why do you do that?" She goes, "Well, that's what my mother did." And she asked her grandma, "Grandma, why do you do that? Why do you just throw the meat in the garbage?" And the grandma says, "Well, that's what my mother did." And then she asked her great-grandma, Why do you do that? Why do we make roasts like that?" And she said, "Because it didn't fit in my pan." So there you have a tradition. Tradition, just because something's a tradition, just because something's been going on for over 50 years, doesn't make it right. Things become tradition, and we get used to it, and we get complacent. No one, not one person here, is saying that wearing the devil on your back is making your children evil. I used to have a store in town, and All the kids who came in from the sports teams, I always thought, my gosh, they're so nice, they're so kind, they're so sweet. They really are. We have wonderful, wonderful children here. That does not make them evil, putting the devil on their back. However, it glorifies the devil. And we who believe in God know there is a real devil, a real and present danger, and he's alive in this country, as we see every day, in our schools, out of our schools, I think, as Amanda said, with drugs, with ISIS, beheadings. The devil is real. Why would we want to put that devil on our children's back? It's cute. It's a little imp. You say, oh, it's nothing. When Michelle first came to me years ago telling me that she didn't think this devil was good to have as our mascot, I thought, well, what's the difference, really? It's just a little image. But then I thought about it, and I said, no, this is glorifying the devil, and the devil is here to kill, crush, and destroy. That's what it tells us in the Bible, and why would you want to put that on your children's back? So think of another name. That's not going to make that much of a difference. Okay? Thank you so much. God bless you.
Hello. My name is Nina Kennedy. I'm here tonight as a parent of Santa Maria Schools for 29 years. I've had four children go through the district. I'm a Christian woman, and my faith is very important to me. The symbol that was put on the shirt here this year for the seniors was very offensive to me. I am very saddened for my daughter and all the children of Santa Maria Schools having the devil as their mascot. The definition of a mascot is stated, any person, animal, or object thought to bring luck or anything used to represent a group with a common public identity, such as a school, professional sports team, society, military unit, or brand name. The definition of representative is a person chosen to act or speak for others. Examples are spokesperson, agent, official, mouthpiece. The devil has been chosen to be our representative. His name is Satan. He is the enemy of God and of everything good, a destroyer, a tempter to do evil, and represents sin. He certainly does not have our children in his best interests. He wants to discourage them, lie to them, give them a poor self-image. He wants to destroy their hopes and dreams of the present and the future. What does the devil represent to you? What characteristics do you want your children to have? I want the children of Santa Maria's to have love for one another and themselves, be full of life and freedom to pursue their hopes and dreams, to be strengthened and encouraged with a representative they look up to, a representative that is strong, caring, and of good character.
My name is Caitlin DeMassey. I just want to address a possible pink elephant in the room. My kids are homeschooled, but I'm an alumni. My parents are alumni. We've been in this community. It's the only place I've ever lived. My parents have been here for more than 30 years. Matt's grandfather graduated from Santa Maria's. So we do have deep roots in this community. I may have to deal with there being a devil on my son's back if he comes back here for high school. He may come back. There's nothing wrong with this school. I think it's a wonderful school. I think we have a great system. I just wanted to piggyback what Mrs. Kennedy said. I brought my dictionary because I wanted to read the definition of a devil because I thought maybe people don't know what it's defined as in the Oxford American Dictionary, a non-religious text. And maybe if we looked at the facts, we might say, huh, why do we call it that? So the devil is the supreme spirit of evil and enemy of God, an evil spirit, a wicked or cruel or annoying person, a mischievous person, or a person who, with great cleverness. So to say that our sports teams can represent the devil, I don't see how us being fierce defenders or great athletes or smart kids or anything else has anything to do with evil. So I say, as I'm listening to everybody wanting to keep a symbol, I say, let's pick a symbol that fits us as a community. Let's not fit our symbol. Let's not defend it. Let's let it, you know, we should define it. It should not define us, and we certainly should not have to say, well, I know it's evil, but we're not evil. That just doesn't make sense to me, because we're a great community. Like, look at the garden that the PTA did. Look at all that we do in the service projects. Look at how far we've come in academics and sports teams. When I came here, there was no football. There was no, like, cross-country track. There was no tennis. We have made huge advancements, and I think that it's time that our symbol represents that.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cheryl White, and my family's been here for, oh, geez. I know my grandfather was born here in 1910. I don't know how far back it goes before that. But we've been here for many, many years. I just want to say that as parents and educators, we work really hard to develop character in our kids. And I think every parent here would agree that character is very, very important to us. And we instill values that, as a society, everybody deems important. Good character is something that we endeavor to teach our children. And it's our desire that they grow up in a way that will allow them to exhibit moral qualities such as honor, trustworthiness, integrity, caring, responsibility, truthfulness, and good citizenship. We want them to be respectful and helpful to others. All of our kids exhibit these qualities. We know that. We know our teams do when they go to other buildings and other places to play. It seems to me that our mascot should be one that promotes school spirit while also embracing these values. The devil is the antithesis of all of these. There are a multitude of influences all around us and our children clamoring to pull us away into less savory attributes. You need look no further than music, movies, TV, and video games for proof. Let's take a stand and do what's right and honorable because it's right and honorable. Let's show our kids that character does count. And to all the kids who are athletes here, we are proud of you. We love you. We support you. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with what that little symbol represents. We will still support our community. We will still support our athletes. And we will still support our schools. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the representation of what the devil is.
Thank you.
I actually came here with absolutely no intentions of speaking. I came to bring my son, who plays varsity soccer. And just listening to all of this and...
What's your name?
Oh, sorry, Jennifer Wicks.
Thanks.
And I moved here maybe 14 years ago, but my husband's family has been here for years. My sister-in-law, Sue Wicks, is in the Hall of Fame. And like I said, I did not come here to speak, but listening to people saying about the evils of heroin... And that, you know, all the talk about heroin and war, I am actually a part of the Drug Prevention Coalition, and I've seen nobody at the meetings fighting the heroin, as many of I've seen here upset about the devil. Where has anybody been for the meetings, of the drug prevention meetings? What about that devil? I mean, I think we're putting so much into this when I don't know. Like I said, I just looked up a few things on my phone within the last 10 minutes, and I see that in the military they do use the devil, the devil's brigade, and other things. So I don't think we think our military is Satan or representing Satan, or maybe some of us do. But I just think it's been taken maybe out of context, and the devil was to be fierce and feared and not to be, you know, evil like that in a religious way. So that's really all I came to say, and maybe we can listen to what the kids have to say. But if anybody really wants to fight the true devil, the heroin, they're all welcome to come to the prevention, the drug prevention meetings, which are the first Mondays of the month, October 6th, then they'll be here. I'd like to see the fervor for that, really, that we have for this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Laura Lewis, and I do not have any children in the district. I'm just here as a neighbor. And I think that we're kind of losing, we're going a little overboard. The devil is a cartoon. That basically that our devil that we use here as a mascot is a cartoon. That's it. That's it. It's not an implication of this or that. It's like, would you go up and pet a bear because of Yogi and Boo Boo? I mean, no. You know, you have to take it what it is. It's a cartoon, and that's it. And to equate this issue with the horrors that are going on in the world, I think is just unrealistic. Okay, to equate it with ISIS and heroin, it's a mascot. It has nothing to do with the horrors that are going on in the rest of the world. And to equate that is just absurd. All right. Why, if we were going to choose anything, well, if you choose an osprey or a bear or a cougar, well, you're going to offend vegetarians. These are things that attack and kill ruthlessly. Okay? So you're just going to, maybe we should be the butterflies. Would that offend anybody? I mean, we can be the Santa Maria's butterflies. Okay. It appears here now that the discussion tonight has turned to that of religion. And unfortunately, this is not a house of worship, but a place of learning, a public learning institution. And the bottom line is the financial implication changing our mascot at this time would cause. If it costs anything, as a taxpayer, it should not be done. We can't afford it. You are soaking me every year for money. And to spend money to replace a mascot on everything from letterhead to the carpet to the band uniforms or the athletic uniforms is, I think, just not prudent. Anyway, so I think it's a cartoon. Let it be a cartoon.
Thank you. Miss, you're welcome to come back in line, but we've got to. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kelsey DeBato. We are all students here at Santa Maria's, and we really just want to say, please keep us the Red Devils. This is our school. This is our second home. This is our pride. This is what keeps us all together. And everybody has different opinions, but we love being the Santa Maria's Red Devils. This is our school spirit. This is what we love. And I say that on behalf of all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Megan Ricky. I just wrote this on the back of my phone over there. As being kids of a part of a public school, there is a main idea of the freedom of religion in the school. People who don't believe in God don't believe in the devil. It's in the end just a mascot. Anything in the dictionary or religious books was originally created by someone with that same view. How can you change something based on a simple definition while it's not the definition that defines us as a community? In the end, how can you take away something that's just a symbol of pride and memories? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Michelle McGovern. I just wanted to make a quick point that I know personally I am not equating any of the children that go to Santa Maria's with devils. It's not my intention at all. For me, it just making light of it and making it a cartoon and making it you know, something to chant just mocks those who believe in his existence. You know, I can speak for most people who are up here saying that we're not pot stirrers. You know, I'm not someone who's going to come and fight for the sake of fighting. Like, it really needs, it's such a deep-rooted, like, heart offense that I want you to understand. I'm not, none of us are really trying to erase the tradition of Santa Mauritius or, you know, but even just hearing some of the statements, you can hear a little bit of the mocking tone. You know, that, you know, it's a cartoon, like, let it go. Well, for us, it's not. You know, for us, it represents a very real threat in the world who is responsible for evil. You can laugh at it. You can joke about, you know, the fact that we believe. But the truth is that that's like our core values as Christians. And so I also just want to point out that so in our belief system, the devil is the adversary of God, right? So he is a religious figure. And so, had 50 years ago someone brought up the idea of calling us like Jesus warriors or God's army, that notion, that sentiment would never have seen the light of the next day. And no one in that room could negate that point. So the fact that he is a religious symbol, and yet there's a double standard there that we could never have had the opposite. No one could argue that. I just feel like I want to put it to, you know, the board members that, you know, we elected you because we believe that you want the best for our, you know, community and for our kids. And I think that it comes down to, you know, being able to rest in your conscience and sleep at night and feel like, you know, like, I understand the tradition, I really do, but I can't see how apart from tradition there is any defense for the devil. You know, there's no way to say, well, we want the devil to represent us because he represents blah, 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 blah. It really is all about tradition. And for me, that's just not a good enough reason. I think that we're intelligent, thoughtful people, and we should be intentional about what we project, how we represent ourselves. I feel like words are life, words are death. You know, it's about being positive and choosing a symbol that really, you know, like I said, none of us are saying that anyone who wears it is evil or a devil worshiper. It's not, you know, that's not the case. It's just that for people who actually do believe, it's a mockery. And I would like to just know, you know, if I could just ask the board and Mr. Stewart, and I would actually like to know what the principals think on this matter. I would really like to hear your opinions, please.
Honestly, this is really, I mean, the first I really heard is everybody speak. I'm not an overly religious person, Ms. McGovern. So I've got to say, it does not offend me in the manner in which it offends you, but I do understand how it could offend you. That's not to say I would vote to keep it or I'd vote to change it, because I don't have enough information at this point. And I'd have to see how more of the community felt as well.
So I kind of echo those sentiments. I think the point of tonight was to hear both sides, you know, and to have that kind of mature discussion that Mr. McGovern is looking for in what she's saying, where everybody listens to the other. And both sides certainly have merit, and there are, you know, ways that you can look at both sides. So I don't have an opinion that I'm ready to express at this point. I would like to continue to hear what everybody has to say. And I don't know, and we haven't yet discussed as a board, but I don't know how, you know, we come to it, whether it's a board decision or whether it is a community vote or, as Chief Wallace said, whether it's a student vote or an admin decision. There's many different ways that you can look at this. So I think it's just the very first is the most important, is to hear what everybody has to say. We've had site-based committees in the past. I know we have a few more people that are waiting to speak. We've had site-based committees in the past look at this. And quite honestly, you know, today I read back through all of the notes that came out of site-based last time, and which was, I think, last year. And it was inconclusive. There were, just as we've heard tonight, very strong opinions on both sides of the fence. So my view is I really want to hear, I want an opportunity to think a little bit more, and I don't yet have an opinion on this.
Yeah, I didn't think so, because I'm going to
Okay. As probably most of you figured out, I'm pretty thoughtful and reflective, and I think I criticize myself probably more than anyone else. I moved here 20 years ago, never really thought much of it. Probably like most people, I bought a home because I could afford it. I never thought about the mascot or even the school district, to be very honest with you. My house was $148,000, and that's what appealed to me. I can remember my children being about 10 and 11 and having my son Jack, and not really thinking about dressing him up as like a little devil, but I didn't think of it as a devil because in my head I'm not bad and I don't think like that. But I also do understand that there are people that do think like that. And, you know, just because I'm thoughtful and I'm reflective and I wouldn't hurt someone else, sometimes I do think about how kids see things. And maybe being an educator and working with children K through 12, for the last 15 years, it's more than that now. I'm really aging myself, I'm not going to say. But I always think about what adults do and how we represent ourselves because it does represent our children. And we are models for them and we're role models for them. So, you know, I'm listening to everyone tonight and I'm holding myself accountable for some things and not being reflective perhaps because I was younger and didn't have correct information or enough information. I think, you know, we all need to reflect upon it. I know I'm a little overwhelmed, and I took, as you can tell, lots of notes. I am very appreciative to live in this community where all of you are so thoughtful and so respectful of each other. I think if anything that I learned tonight, I'm proud to be here and to serve you because you've been so sincere and you've complimented each other and you've listened to one another. And I think if we continue to do this, we'll come up with the answer that's best for our children. So I just wanted to thank you. And I think that, you know, we do need some time to digest this because I know I'm a little overwhelmed. And maybe we need to – I know we did this 10 years ago with even my children that have now graduated, that are now 24 and almost 23 years old. We did explore the idea of looking at something different. So I need a little bit more time to sleep on it, or I'm probably not going to sleep at all tonight, which is usually what happens after a board meeting. But I appreciate you all being here and continuing to explore this because I think we need more discussion.
Yes, I also read through all of the site-based meeting things, and it really I was impressed, and same as Kristen just said, with everybody's thoughtfulness. It is a problematic issue. I've had three kids go through. With children being alienated and things, I go to church every Sunday and basically always have. My children don't and haven't and think I don't understand what I get out of it sometimes because I'm not a – to me, it's intensely private, my religion. Intensely. I'm a Protestant in a very Catholic area, so have always had games Sunday mornings. I'm also a quarter Jewish, and there have been games Friday nights. I've accepted being out of the mainstream overall in many ways, and I have not felt that the rest of the world had to fit with what I wanted to do. I've done what I needed to do for my children, told them exactly what I believed in and held to it very strongly when I felt the need to. So I'm conflicted as to the public sphere because I keep it intensely private and do what I need to do and what I feel is right for my family. And if they feel alienated, so be it. We've decided that's our value and that's what it's going to be. I'm going to have to wrestle with this. This is going to be a difficult one for me because I understand the traditions. I've had kids have the traditions. I am sympathetic. I work in a town where ours is the Redmen, and I'm sympathetic to those things and the Redskins, as Chief Harry said. So I do believe in being sympathetic to people, and it's so many issues. So, yes, I will be wrestling with this one, but thank you all for your comments.
I will reflect upon all that was said. I heard everything, and I will think about it. I think there's been enough words tonight. We probably
gotten the subject out enough.
Thanks. Is there is
more you want to speak?
Yeah. Is there anybody that hasn't yet spoken?
Well, I had asked for Mr. Stewart and the principals as well to give their opinion, please.
Oh. Yeah.
I've been taking notes as Dr. Turnow has as well. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. Yes. It's a controversial issue, I wrote. I do not want to offend anybody. It obviously divides us, which hurts me because I'd always like to see us come together, but obviously that's not always the case, and that's difficult. I want to be sensitive, Chief Wallace, to the Native American families as well as the families of faith in the community. I wrote here a note, as a school district and as a community, we are trying to set the very best example for our students in all that we do. For example, I've been told to hire the best teachers, seek out the best way to teach a child, set the best example that we can for them in terms of character, respect, and kindness. And in this particular instance, I sit here and I think to myself, is a devil the very best that we can do to represent ourselves and the future of the generations of Santa Maria's? What can we do better? After listening and reading for the past 2 weeks and over the whole year, this is nothing new. As a Board of Education, this has been something that I gave to the site-based management team. After listening and reading some of the passion and pleas from the members of our community, my position is as long as it does not affect the district financially, I fully support changing our district mascot. Also, if the Board of Education decides to move forward, I would recommend the creation of a transition committee and allow anyone who is interested to participate. Put down a few more notes. The question I would ask to everybody here, if we were creating a brand new district today, a brand new school district, would we pick the mascot, the Red Devil mascot, to represent our community? For example, we sat here and listened tonight to the principals. I'm listening to them on their new initiatives for our students. If the reason we would keep the devil is for tradition, because it has always been that way, then I think we should take time to think about that reasoning. Every school district decision, in my opinion, should have a reason of because that is what's best for kids. That's my few notes.
Would any of the principals like to comment? You don't have to, but you're welcome to if you'd like to. Yeah, just so that we can record it.
So I will say that as an administrator and an instructional leader, we always walk a very fine line because we do have to keep our personal beliefs separate and really focus on what is best for the children, the community at large, and the parents. But I will say as a person who believes very passionately in the power of words and symbols, I think that you can't negate what the devil symbol stands for. So whatever the community decides, I will stand by it. But as a person who believes in that power, it's a very difficult conversation to have with children. And that alone is cause to have this very, very important, passionate conversation. Words are powerful.
Thank you.
Like I said earlier in my presentation, this is my fifth year here, and they haven't been banging down the doors, but there's been enough comments, inquiries, sharing of emotion. I had a few students and parents through the last couple of years, you know, every now and then, whether it's on a football field or in my office or whatever, you know, inquire about this very issue we're discussing tonight. So I felt the timing was right just to really look at it, whether it was selfishly for me and with some of our students and parents and teachers on site-based management, and it seemed the timing was appropriate because at the time, the Washington Redskins was really in the news, and it seemed to be somewhat of a connection there. So that's really the impetus behind why we examined this issue at site-based. And I took it from a different angle. I mean, Mr. Stewart kind of already alluded to it, but you know, we're really one that started this. Instead of asking the group, you know, hey, do you like the mascot? I charged him with a question saying, if you were on a committee to name a brand new high school, would it be the Red Devils? And we all struggled with it because I can speak for the entire committee, we really didn't think about it at all because all of us were kind of on the same page, maybe different degrees, that it wasn't a pressing issue in our lives. But through the many weeks we spent listening and digging and researching, you know, I know we all took personal journeys. I know I did. And I, at the end, I asked not only the committee members but myself to answer that final question. You know, would you name the school a Red Devil, or, you know, mascot? And I wanted to figure out how I'm going to answer the question. Do I answer it based on my faith? Do I answer it in a secular manner? Like, how do I answer this question? Because it's so charged. I mean, everything I was talking about tonight, we talked about in the committee. I mean, it was, you know, it was very symbolic and representative of the different opinions here tonight. So I'm only speaking for myself now, and I answer it as a principal. That's how I answered the question, and I, without hesitation, said there was no way I would ever recommend the Red Devil to be named for a new high school. Why? Because to me it's negative. It's just too much. It's just too negative. I just would never recommend it. And I would probably pound the podium if my opinion wasn't heard. That's how strongly I felt about answering that question. How do I feel beyond that? I'm going to be very frank with you. It bothers me that there are students and kids that feel that they're not part of the group. And I'm charged as the leader to try to create a social and academic environment conducive to all students of all different types. So as a principal, it's hard for me to support a system where there are kids that are alienated for whatever reason that may be. And that was my journey that I took last year. So unlike the board that you guys are really hearing a lot of this, you know, right now, I've had time to really chew on this and reflect, and I took a journey. And as a principal, it troubles me that some of my students feel troubled by this issue. That's my answer.
Just to piggyback right off of what Mr. Caswell said, last year, in my first year as the middle school principal, it broke my heart when I spoke to a student on homecoming right in the beginning of the year that felt so uncomfortable wearing the T-shirts that we gave out that had a devil on it. And when I went home that night, going home, I drove home like, oh my goodness, what did we do as a building that student felt alienated? And the thought at that time didn't cross my mind. It really didn't. We made the shirts and handed out, and it wasn't until it was brought to my attention and I had a conversation with the student and the parents at the time that I went home and drove home and really started thinking about it and reflecting about what I did for that family and that student, and it broke my heart. So I think every day what I try to do as a principal is do what's best for each child. And in this instance, I think my opinion would be the same, is to do what's best for all children in Santa Maria's. And I think, you know, as a principal, I sit here, and when people feel alienated in that specific instance in October of last year, I think just really started my thought process and my journey as a principal here in Santa Maria's. And, you know, it was one child, but, you know, when we did our presentations here today in ELA and math, we are speaking about one child, and it is all about each individual child. So that's kind of where my thought process is. So I'm going to continue to think about it, and I think I would just say what's best for the students of Santa Maria's and their feeling of at school every day. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Mercurio, and I just think that this mascot is wrong because it's a devil. It's bad.
If there's anybody that hasn't spoken yet, let's let them before we. I don't know.
Oh, you told me
to
come up here. I'm sorry.
No, I know, but
I just want to apologize. I just want to sincerely apologize for speaking out of order before, and I just want to clarify my point of bringing up atrocities in the world is because we believe it's from the devil. So that's all I was trying to state. The atrocities are all from the devil, and if we believe that, why would we want that as a mascot? That's it. But I am very, very sorry for speaking out of turn.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Matthew DeMassey. I just want to thank the board for allowing this discussion to happen. A few people I've spoken to have said that, and these are people that either worked or lived in the district for a number of years, they said that this has come up about once a decade. I don't know, you know, if that's exact or not, but this has been an issue in the past for some people. And the thing I want to talk about is not whether or not it offends someone, but the legal implications of what we're doing here. And public school is a government school. If you've never thought of it like that, all right, the big phrase that we hear all the time now is Common Core. That comes from the federal government. So we embrace the Common Core. We're now under the purview of the federal government, and we always have been. We have APPR. That's a New York State thing. So we're under the New York State Department of Education. So we are a government school. We get funds from the government, tax money. So as a government agency, we are bound by the law, and the school district itself doesn't abolish any freedoms allowed by the United States Constitution. I don't think anyone would argue that against that. So part of the First Amendment is the Establishment Clause. And the Establishment Clause, this is access from Cornell University Law School. I saw this today on the website. The Establishment Clause prohibits the government from making any law respecting an establishment of religion. This clause not only forbids the government from establishing an official religion, but also prohibits government actions that unduly favor one religion over another. It also prohibits the government from unduly preferring religion over non-religion or non-religion over religion. So basically, as a government entity, the school district really shouldn't take a stand on religion or non-religion. But the fact that we have a religious symbol, whether or not you believe that it really is true or not, or just a cartoon, but it is a religious symbol. And it didn't become a cartoon and then religions took that and put it into their religion. It was a religious symbol initially, and now maybe it is a cartoon. But again, we are agents of the state. We're obligated under the Establishment Clause to not promote any religious symbol, whether it's good or bad. And all the things that you've been hearing today against the devil are bad. And not only that, but there is a recognized religion in the United States, the Church of Satan, and that the devil is their idol of worship. That's the head of their religion. Now, you could even remove that if you didn't want to take that into consideration. Any Christian or Jewish person would recognize that Satan is a symbol in their religion. So it is a religious symbol. I don't think anyone here could argue that. And not only do we have the word devil on, plastered everywhere, it's on our website, home of the Red Devils, but a picture of the devil is on the sweatshirts. You've seen them on the yearbooks and other places. I know the pictures hang up in the hallway here. There's senior shirts, has the devil right on it, and you can see it from that aerial view. So, there's a lot of emotions going on, but I'm appealing to you board members to see the legality of this. I'm a public school teacher myself, and I could not stand in the classroom and talk about my personal religious views and whether it's good or bad for the students, because I'm not in a position to do that. I'm an agent of the state. I cannot inflict my religious views, no matter what they are, on any students. And that is a freedom under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution to protect our students. So, I don't see why the Santa Maria School District should have devils, plastered there.
Thank you.
And again, the community sentiment I know is strong for the devils, but, that does not overrule the Constitution of the United States.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hello. I'm Dylan DeLong, and my family has been a part of Santa Maria since long going back, and we've had this name for about 50 years, and when you take a walk in our gymnasium and you look around, it's history. His name is not just a name, it's history. My dad grew up here, I grew up here. My aunts and uncles grew up here. Many people you know today grew up here. And they take this name to not just, not as a religious meaning, but as like as a sports meaning. It's very fierce, it's strong. You don't want to be weak, like, I don't know, like a butterfly. So you want to be strong and fierce, and I feel that's how the devil is. And I don't think change is something that should be done. I think it's good to be kept the way it is.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Donald Wood. I'm a former student here at Santa Maria.
Sorry, what was your name?
Donald Wood.
Thanks.
I think that there's going to be people that don't think that it's good and it's good, so either way there's going to be people that disagree and agree with it. And I just think that it would be like dumb if we change our school name to whatever, because the devil is like, we have education and we just did good with everything here, so
thank
I
you.
Just think that we should.
Thank you very much. So everybody's going to get 3 minutes, but if you had your 3 minutes, there's so many people here, and we've been here for a few hours, so I want to
go. Is 1 minute.
Yeah, I want to go to those that haven't had an opportunity. I don't mean to be rude at all, but we said 3 minutes at the beginning of the night. We need to stick to that.
How you doing? My name is Jimmy DeVito. I've lived here since 99. I want to thank the board for their service to the community. It's appreciated. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way, but we really appreciate that. But I feel you owe it to the community to take a vote on this issue. If you're not going to vote tonight, to let us know when you're going to vote and do it in a timely manner. That this can't drag on for another couple of years or create another, you know, team that's going to study how it's going to impact and this drag on for years and years. I think this should be voted on and voted on soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just like to say that the symbol personally offends me, not because I'm Christian, but because I was raised Jewish. I was told time and again I was going to hell because I was Jewish. And it brings up a lot of bad memories of being a child and feeling left out in all those celebrations that we do as a Christian community. And it took me a lot of courage to come up here and talk about that in a very Christian community. I also like to say on a positive note that I work in branding for a living, and I'd be more than happy to devote my time and energy to develop a logo and a new look and a new positive image and mascot for a community, for the great community that it is. That's all.
Thank you. We didn't have her name for the record. Dawn DePerry.
So I just want to thank you again for the time that you gave us tonight to speak as a community and to share our opinions with you. Just to clarify, we are not looking to add additional expenses to the district. This can be rolled in over time when new uniforms are purchased, when new rugs are purchased. We also are not interested in changing the tradition, the great tradition of Santa Maria's. We know the tradition does not lie in the mascot. It lies in the achievements of the children, of the alumni, and what they've accomplished. We are not looking to take down anything that stands up to recognize the great accomplishments of the Santa Maria students. We're looking to move forward from this point. And I'd also like to say that I'm disappointed that the only opinions, and with all due respect, I'm disappointed in the only opinions that we don't know are the members of the board tonight and how you stand on this issue. We've been talking about this for a year in site-based. I brought this issue up a month ago, and we still don't know how you feel as a board. And to me, with all due respect, that's disappointing. Thank you.
I wasn't going to say my name is Ray Struble. I wasn't going to say anything, but it is just a symbol. I do believe in God. It's just a symbol. They are strong. It's a devil. It's just what they are. I was a duck. I went to Eastport. I embraced the devils. I live here. I bring my kids to school. To change it, it's just going to be wrong.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Hi, everybody. I'm Janine Price. I am Christian.
I believe in God, and I believe in a devil. But I graduated from Santa Mauritius, and I never once thought, I believe there's a devil, but I never once looked at that logo. I looked at it as we had strength, we had power, we weren't going to be defeated, and I always looked at it that way. So I never thought of it as a bad thing. It was our mascot. And, you know, I raised my kids, and we all have our own beliefs. I mean, we have a mascot of a devil. I won't let them watch Beavis and Butthead on TV. So we all have our own beliefs. But for me, there's a strong community bond here. And I mentioned to my daughters, they actually overheard me about this on the agenda. One goes to elementary and one goes to the middle school. They both, like, sighed. Like, what do you mean? So, you know, there's definitely a mix of opinions here and a lot of history.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mary Pettit. I wasn't going to say anything tonight either, but in listening to a few comments, it has to be said, I don't think anyone here would wear a swastika on their shirt. It's just a symbol.
My name is Patty Albert, and I wasn't planning on talking either, and I'm not very good at it, so excuse me. I went to Catholic school, and for 5 years, then I graduated from school where I was a bison. I'm not offended with the devil. I don't think that, I mean, everybody here that got up that was for the devil, for keeping the symbol and for changing it, everybody said that all the students, all our alumni are great kids. I don't see where that symbol then has affected them. I don't think changing it is a good idea because you're taking away history, you're taking away their pride. And what everybody is, you're all saying they're all good students, so why, and but yet in the second, one hand you're saying they're good students, and then you're saying the devil is evil. Not one of these kids are evil. That's what I'm saying. Not you all said they weren't, but then you're saying the devil is evil. Our kids are proof that it's not. It's a symbol.
One at a time.
It's a mascot. It's a, you know, we're not promoting
the
devil.
Board. Address the board with comments.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was just trying to get everybody. I lost my train of thought. But I don't, you know, everybody all has their own opinions, but I don't think we're changing it is going to.
Thank you very much.
John Albano. I put two kids through the district. Some of you know me. Coach Z knows how many volleyball games that I go to. Scream like a fool. Go Devils. But the truth is, as much as I love the kids, I love the teams, I love the staff, the job you did on my kids, I'm a man of faith. I always was. And I compromise my own beliefs. I know that. But I did it. I supported the kids. My point is, I'm not a hypocrite, but I compromised because for the kids, for the support. But maybe in the future, somebody doesn't have to do that if we change. And if you're looking at history, well, if you're looking at school pride and spirit, it's more than a mascot. It could be anything. It could be a duck or whatever. It's what the kids put into it, what the staff brings out of them, and as a crowd, as we cheer them on to win or lose. It's not just the symbol itself that's important, the heritage. As far as heritage, I ask you to look back into your own lives, your family's lives, your ancestors' lives. How many things, attitudes, went on for hundreds of years where your sexual orientation, your gender, your religion, or lack of religion may have cost you your life, or of course that's not the case now, but marginalized you for society and went on for far more than 58 years, went on for maybe 100 or more years. And those people who had legitimate views were marginalized, and they had to swallow it like I did for years. I appreciate all that you've done, but some of us, and it's not a very small amount, are offended by this. Please recognize that in modern times and start anew. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Elaine. I also did not plan on speaking tonight, but sitting in the chair looking through the dictionary, I happened to look up the word bully and realized that you could interchange that word with the devil. The definition is a person who uses his strength or power to hurt or frighten others. And that's just, I think we can do better. Better mascot for our kids, Sun Riches.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
My name is Megan Ricky. I came up before, but like what the middle school principal said, when I was at open house, when I was in middle school, I actually had like an experience like this. Like a guy came up, I was giving just directions. I was just in the hallway, and a guy came up to me and started asking me how I felt about wearing the devil, and then he started preaching stuff to me and all this stuff, and he got really mad, and then like two of my friends, larger boyfriends, came up and moved him away, and then another parent came up and talked to him. And it's like the idea that we're all here right now and there's so many other worse things going on and you're fighting over like a mascot. Like that's not, it's not comparable. And then you should be fight, like there's other things, like I don't know who said it, but someone said, where was people at the heroin talk or whatever there was, I don't know, I'm not really into this, but that seems more important than this. I don't understand, like I'm not religious, I don't, I, my mom's Christian, but I don't believe in God, so I don't know what I believe in, but it's silly, honestly, from coming from a 16-year-old, it's to me silly how this is such a big deal of a mascot. I understand if you're saying you want it as represented as a town, but in the end, you can't think of it any more than that from a public school system. That's all it is. And also, with the devils, our Marines are, they're motivated by a saying called the devil dogs. So, which, to people who don't agree with that, that saying, like, to make a really strong inference, you're not supporting what motivates our troops to fight for the fact that we can have a public school that where religion doesn't matter. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to have two more people speak tonight. Sir?
Hi. My name's Bob Quinlivan.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Bob Quinlivan.
A couple of points. What I was just thinking as I'm sitting here is within a quarter mile, there's 10 churches, I think, in this town. At least if you went to Railroad Avenue, you know, between here and there. There's a lot of kids that go to those churches. There's a lot of kids in there, that, and most of them go to these schools. And they have to be learning about the devil. And it's contradictory to a young kid, you know. Now he comes to school and he's got his devil jacket. My daughter went to this school, and she was on a soccer team, and she was really proud. And I was really proud of her. But there was not one thing I ever bought her that had a devil on it. Never. I never would have. Now, if it had the osprey on it, if it had the shark on it, if it had the teddy bear or the butterfly, I would have bought her 100 of them. I would have bought everything that you guys had that said Santa Rich's sharks. I would have bought it all. I would have bought it for my sons, my daughters, grandkids, everybody. And there's a lot of money there. And there's a lot of money to the people that are here. I think the people that still believe that they should be devils, if you change it to sharks, they would still buy their kids a shark shirt. You know what I mean? So there's a lot more money that would come in too with it. It's not just like, well, we got to change everything. I think you get a lot more support from the parents. Because I didn't support yous at all. And I bought my daughter $500 worth of Girl Scout cookies because I supported that. You know what I mean? And I know there's a lot of people out there like me. All right? So it just doesn't make sense. In this day and age, in this society, to keep a name like that is crazy. If you're affecting one kid, if one kid is, you know what I mean, feels like this big. Now, if you go to vote, you go to a vote, I could just see that gym, that locker room. Yo, man, you better vote no. All right? Because I want to be a Red Devil. Kids are still kids. You know, that's how they are. You can't put it to kids. You know what I mean? You guys got to do something. And there's a lot of kids their parents are treating, you know, raising them right. They're raising, and I'm not saying that you're letting them do it, but you're going to church, you're doing your homework, you're doing the right thing, you're reading the Bible to them, you're praying at night for them, and then you're letting them go to a school and wear a jacket that says Red Devils. It don't work. It just don't work. It can't work. You want the parents to work with the kids with the homework, you got to let the parents work with the kids with the school mascot, too. It just don't work.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jody Jambroni, and I just wanted to say that we've clearly confused the children of Santa Maria's if they think that the devil represents somebody who is undefeatable.
Period.
Thank you. So that, I appreciate everybody's comments tonight. As I said before, I think a big part of this is the fact that everybody was able to come out tonight and hear each other out in what I view to be a positive way. That takes us to the next item on our agenda, which is questions and comments from the community on items not on the agenda.
Mr. Paul, I'm sorry. Just sir. A question I asked for a board from the board or a timeline of when the board would
be. We're going to speak to our council. There's been a lot of different things raised as to how this needs to be done or how it can be done. I think, you know, we said we all want to have an opportunity to think about it, to kind of reflect on what everybody here has said. But we're absolutely not going to have a vote tonight on whether to change the mascot or anything like that. It would be something, and I know that you know, you expressed that, you didn't want to have another committee, but it would be something that, if it were something that the board were supportive of, and I honestly don't know, we haven't had that conversation, we need to look at what you change it to, how you do it, how you roll it out, the costs, when that fits into a budget, because, you know.
Where it fits into our bond.
Right, where it fits into the bond. There's a lot of pieces that go into this. So, you know, I certainly absolutely respect everything that both sides said tonight and very valid points you made on both sides, but it's not a, yes, we vote to change it, and tomorrow we're the Ospreys and let's buy new shirts. There's a lot there. So we are going to talk to our council. We're going to think about it and discuss again as a board.
But when will an answer be?
I don't have a date for when we'll have an answer, when we'll have a vote, or even what we're going to do. You know, and we, sorry. A bunch of different things were raised. You know, whether it's a survey to understand where the community is. I mean, we heard tonight. I wrote down every comments on everybody. I don't know if it's 50-50 or what it is. Whether it's a survey or whether. What comes into it. So we're not there yet to be able to tell you, yes, in a week or a month or 6 months, we will have a vote on whether to change it or what it will be.
And I mean, personally, reaching out to council is a smart thing to do.
I agree with you.
You know, absolutely. And to really determine, even if we were to do something, we need to know what the plan is. I mean, not just jumping or going, well.
There's a lot of parts.
Yeah. And we want anything that we do, and you can see that as demonstrated tonight by the administration, is very careful planning. This year, our major goal was having goals that were quantifiable. You know, so we are moving I think we're moving in a very good direction, but it was a lot to take in. And there's obviously a lot of information that we read as board members that we make it look really easy when we get here, but we probably spent about 8 hours reading all those items on the agenda before we actually come here to serve you. I don't personally, I need to listen to council and
sure.
Find out if there's other districts that have done it. I would love to have some examples, too.
South Dakota Devil's Hills.
The what?
The mascot. The board voted unanimously in South Dakota Devil's Hills to change their mascot approximately 12 years ago.
Okay. Thank you. Any others?
I'm asking you guys to lead. We voted you in to lead us as a school district. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you to lead.
Can
not
you send that to us?
Not second temperature, but to lead.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Voters that have voted for them to leave in the opposite direction, so it's not fair to put them on the spot.
So we've gone through this at length, and everybody's had their time. Are there questions on other items on the agenda?
No, not on the agenda, Josh.
Other items not on the agenda. Thanks, Gary. Yes. Please come up and state your name. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Betsy Von Hassel, and it was a very interesting meeting, and I'm glad I have a big audience. I had a lot of questions the last couple of meetings about how to get a club organized, and Mr. Stewart's been very patient with me, asking questions, and kind of at the end of it, I realized there wasn't anything in writing about guidelines or any kind of paperwork to get a club started in the high school. So he was kind enough to suggest that maybe the site-based committee could work on something like that, setting up a procedure for club activity formation and the guidelines for approval and criteria for active status and perhaps maybe a quantitative process to maintain active status. I'm like parched from listening to everyone. So there's no written procedure, and we wanted to see if maybe we can get something like that, just to avoid any appearance of favoritism or discrimination. So anyone that's here that wants to join the site-based committee, I would really like help to try to work on that, getting the club activity procedure together.
Nice to see you, Betsy.
Good to see you.
It is the number one item this year on the site-based management team's agenda to make sure we put the procedures in writing form.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you.
After the mascot, maybe?
No pun intended. Other questions? Thank you very much. Anybody have any other questions?
I do.
Yes.
I have another discussion point. I was reading a lot of crap today that scared the hell out of me with this Ebola that's in Dallas and the D68 that's killed 5 kids. I think we need to seriously consider as a board asking Mr. Stewart to do whatever needs to be done to get all of our nurses in service on both of these issues so they're ready to identify any of this that might pop in front of us.
Gary said that he wants to have our nurses trained on Ebola and D68.
And as I understand it, currently New York State is arranging to have all of the state nurses in service on the Ebola. Uh-huh. And they're going to be doing it in Manhattan because they're doing it en masse because this thing has come about so quickly.
I support that.
Absolutely.
Do you support us looking into it and figuring out exactly what that means?
Sure.
Yeah. Sir, can you let us know?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Great point, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Any other questions, comments on items not on the agenda? Great. Thank you very much. Dates to remember. Next board meeting will be on October 16th at 7:30 in the LGI in the high school.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
Board appreciation night.
Board appreciation night.
No gifts.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. I make a